15th round of industrial action since 2023 in just 3 years. Our reporters are across the country.
Another 6 days of difficult strike action by resident doctors. I'm LBC's Luke Shanahan with the latest from Birmingham's Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
And I'm LBC's Thea Rickard outside the Bristol Royal Infirmary as the NHS tells us to keep using services when we need them.
Time to Kanye West over those vile anti-Semitic comments. Gideon Falter is the chief executive of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism.
Were this to be, let's say, a hate preacher or something other than a music star, I think we wouldn't really even be having the conversation at all as a country.
Plus, why there's a real danger that no one goes to Waitrose after they sack a worker of 17 years because he tried to stop shop theft. Those stories and more follow the 7 Hot News on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, President Trump has reiterated his threat to destroy power plants in Iran tonight if it doesn't reopen the Strait of Hormuz. He says he isn't worried about warnings that targeting civilian infrastructure could be a war crime. Daniel L. Davis is a former lieutenant colonel in the US Army. He's told LBC he's unsure whether further strikes will turn the war in President Trump's favour.
It's unclear what he means by that. I honestly don't know because, I mean, he may try to hit something bigger, but I don't see anything, and I can't believe I'm even saying this out loud, short of a nuclear weapon that would have any possibility of accomplishing that objective. And I certainly hope that's not what he's talking about, but unfortunately, I can't just rule it out.
The boss of Wireless Festival has defended the decision to invite Kanye West to headline the event in London this summer. Melvin Benn described the rapper's previous remarks about Jewish people as abhorrent, but encouraged people to forgive him. The performer has apologised and blamed his bipolar disorder. Gideon Falter is from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. He's told LBC the invitation should be withdrawn.
It's not the first time he's done these things, and it's not the first time he's apologised after. He apologised a few years ago, and then after he'd apologised, he then went public and said, I take back my apology. There's this cycle with Kanye West where he says absolutely off the charts, horrendous things about Jews, or praising Hitler, and then just before he releases a new album, he apologises.
A 6-day strike by resident doctors in England is just getting underway. They're 15th in a long-running dispute with the government over pay and jobs. The NHS is urging patients not to put off seeking healthcare as normal during the walkout. Reform UK says if it wins the next general election, it will stop issuing visas to citizens of countries that demand slavery reparations from Britain. The party says such nations are ignoring the fact that Britain made huge sacrifices to be the first major power to abolish slavery. And NASA's Artemis 2 mission is on the way back to Earth. After travelling around the far side of the moon, they journeyed more than 252,000 miles into space, further than any human's gone before. The crew later spoke to President Trump, who described them as true pioneers. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,436. It closed up 71 on Thursday. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland later. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics are saying a stunning, breathtaking triumph of savings. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compasso Market in cinemas all year.
That sounds like a great movie.
Sergey, it's no movie. It's 2-for-1 offer on cinema tickets.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with the Compare the Market app. The simplest way to save.
When you take out a qualifying product to Compare the Market, one membership per year participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
1:04 after 7 on Tuesday, April the 7th, the threat from Donald Trump to bomb Iran back to the Stone Age. The clock is ticking. It comes up later today, UK time. Is there a way out? Is there this so-called off-ramp? We'll look at that as the world looks on with consternation and fear. In other news, back here in the UK, medics walk out today for the 15th time in 3 years. Health Secretary Wes Streeting addressed this last month.
Anyone looking in objectively would see the government has done everything we can, and we are at a point where the resident doctors' committee's expectations are beyond reasonable and realistic.
And the Health Secretary will join me later in the show. A history-making moment. The crew of Artemis 2 broke the record set by Apollo 13. We go back to 1970, by the way, travelling the furthest distance into space from Earth.
On April 15th, 1970, three explorers set the record for the farthest distance humans have ever travelled from our home planet. Today, you're pushing beyond that frontier.
Yes, it's more than 200,000 miles. I'll give you the exact figure later on when we give that story more coverage. As I said before, time to Kanye West. Phil Rosenberg is from the Board of Deputies of British Jews.
To have someone who has described themselves as a Nazi release a song called Heil Hitler, it's a real problem that he's been chosen to headline the festival for 3 days.
And the defence seems to be from the festival organiser that he's only there to perform. Really? He's not there to give a public rally. What a lame excuse. We'll look at that in more detail. And also a seemingly lame excuse from Waitrose as a veteran worker, 17 years, is sacked. His crime was to try and, stop shop theft. We'll look at that in more detail. Plus, the Conservatives pledge has cracked down on illegal traveller camps. If you live in and around the area of Sundridge near Bromley and Kent, you'll know that they came a-visiting this Easter weekend.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
To the US, and the rhetoric just keeps on coming, doesn't it? President Trump saying last night the US had drawn up plans to destroy all Iran's bridges and power plants over a four-hour period tonight if it fails to meet its deadline for a deal that included reopening the Strait of Hormuz to bomb Iran into the Stone Age. As for those of you who were working through the Easter break, and you know that I took some time off that extraordinary outburst using foul language as well a couple of days ago. Where does it end? Well, speaking yesterday, bizarrely, at the annual White House Easter egg roll, and there are photographs with the president with a giant bunny to his left. I'm sure they didn't do that during the Vietnam War. Did they? Could they not have suspended the Easter bunny, who, of course, we know does exist for children who are listening? Of course, the Easter bunny. Couldn't he have just taken this Easter off? But unsurprisingly, the president was asked a question by an American reporter.
Mr. President, how would it not be a war crime to strike Iran's bridges and power plants?
Because they killed 45,000 people in the last month, more than that. It could be as much as 60. They killed protesters. They're animals. And we have to stop them, and we can't let them have a nuclear weapon. Very simple. They want a nuclear weapon. They've been trying for a long time. I stopped them with the Obama horrible Iran nuclear deal. I stopped them in a lot of different ways.
So, standing alongside a giant rabbit, he describes the Iranian as animals. Meanwhile, the children enjoy their Easter eggs. Then off to the White House briefing room for a press conference that lasted an hour and 20 minutes, in which the president gave more detail on the timings of his possible strikes on Iran.
This is a critical period. They have a period of, well, till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I gave them an extension. They asked for an extension of 7 days, right? I said, Steve, give them 10 days. 10 days is up actually today, so I gave them 11, I guess, indirectly. I thought it was inappropriate the day after Easter. I want to be a nice person. They have till tomorrow. Now, we'll see what happens. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. We're getting the help of some incredible countries that want this to be ended because it affects them also. A lot of people are affected by this. But we're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone ages, yeah.
To clarify, 8 p.m. Eastern time, that would be 1 a.m. our time. Later in the press conference, President Trump elaborated on his plans to strike those bridges and power plants.
We have a plan because of the power of our military, where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen. We may even get involved with helping them rebuild their nation. And you know what? If that's the case, the last thing we want to do is start with power plants, which are among the most expensive thing, and bridges.
President Trump, in a moment, will speak with a diplomat who served five different US administrations. But first, let's get to a UK aspect. Paddy McGuinness was former UK Deputy National Security Advisor and joins me now. Mr. McGuinness, to me, you're the expert here. To me, this increasingly looks like a plan and a president that's unravelling. What is your take on the events of the last three or four days? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. Well, they've got a plan, and they and the Israelis have had time to prepare to do something militarily quite dramatic, and now they're threatening to do it. So in the short term, they have a plan. I think the bit that's really important for the UK is that even if the military capabilities of Iran around the Straits of Hormuz are reduced in the course of this spike in military activity, which now looks highly likely, it's very difficult to see in the next hours whether that Iran or the US will back down on this, even if their military capabilities are eroded, it'll be quite a time before the normal flow of traffic goes through the Straits of Hormuz. And indeed, we need a higher flow to make up for the lost flow we've lost in this last period. So for us and our economic well-being and our interests in freedom of navigation, that's some way away.
Hindsight being 2020 vision, surely the US-Israeli alliance should have looked to this possibility with the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, of course, Donald Trump was talking about the Straits of Hormuz and the need to do something about it when he thought about running for president in the late 1980s. So this is not new to them. Let's be clear. I mean, there is a risk, Nick, in our coverage in this country, and actually more generally in the West, that we do Iran's strategic communication work for them. The military capabilities of the United States are remarkable, and they will have military effect. But, as many point out, military effect is not diplomatic or economic effect. So yes, and I think there will have been those who said to Trump, well, if they do have a go at the Strait of Hormuz, we can do something about it. We faced them down before. And anyway, if we're going to deal with Iran, we're going to have to deal with its strategic assets. That's potential nuclear weapons, that's ballistic, that's proxy groups, but it's also the ability to influence the Straits of Hormuz. So this has always been on the military agenda, even if it's not a straightforward thing to do.
Lastly, as the president threatens to unleash hell on Iran, it is reported Britain will refuse to allow President Trump to use RAF bases for any strikes on those bridges or power plants. Would you be supportive of that?
Of the British position?
Yes,
or of allowing
the British position, i.e. you cannot use it for offensive strikes.
I find this very difficult, Nick. We sit under an American umbrella every day. British people are safer from terrorism, from crime, and from hostile states because of our American partnership. We have basing agreements with them. We train with them. It seems very, very odd at a time when we are facing down a power that has killed many of our young in Afghanistan with explosive-formed projectiles. Let's remember that when we stood proudly in Royal Wooten Bassett saluting our young men and women who came back from Afghanistan dead, those who come back maimed. They were killed with Iranian weapons. It seems extraordinary to me that we don't have animus towards Iran and do not find a way of supporting our closest ally.
Really enjoyed our time, Paddy. Thank you. Paddy McGuinness, you served as UK Deputy National Security Advisor to a man who served as National Security Advisor in the United States. Mitchell B. Rees is a diplomat. He worked for five US administrations at the White House and State Department, National Security Advisor to Mitt Romney, now a distinguished fellow at RUSI, the Royal United Services Institute. Thank you for coming on, sir. What have you learnt? What has the world learnt about President Trump and his administration over his handling of the Iran conflict, would you say? Good morning.
Good morning. I, first of all, want to applaud what Paddy said and appreciate it and agree wholeheartedly with his sentiments about the United States and the UK standing together at a difficult time, because Iran is an evil regime that has done unspeakable harm not only to its own people, but to US and UK citizens and others around the world. So going to the White House, I think what we're learned is that the president is increasingly searching for options for an off-ramp here. The way he's going through it is by escalating the rhetoric, certainly. And I agree with Paddy. I think it is likely that there will be an additional military escalation this evening. But the big question is always, and then what? And then what? Will it actually lead to the Iranians compromising, or will they double down? And so far in the course of this war, they've done nothing but double down.
Can you envisage a time, Mr. Rees, where U.S. military personnel actually go into Iran or parts of Iran?
I think that's really problematic for the president. He doesn't have the American people behind him. I would bet that he doesn't have his own party in Congress behind him. So I think that's problematic. Anything other than the type of surgical rescue operation that we saw heroically performed the other day. The two options for him in terms of boots on the ground are occupying Karg Island or actually trying to extract the enriched uranium from Isfahan. And both are long-term, not tactical operations. It would engage a lot of troops in vulnerable positions for many, many days, perhaps weeks. So I think it's unlikely.
You'll be closer to this than I and probably most of my listeners here in the UK. He is a president, but he's a politician. He's got those midterms coming. At what point does that really, there's no return as regard gas prices and other pressures, Mr. Rees?
Well, I think he's feeling some of that now. And again, that plays into the unpopularity of this war. Gas prices are always a sensitive barometer for politicians in the U.S. It's right now over $4 a gallon, which is not very much by UK terms, but the U.S. is a slightly larger country and everybody drives.
You got that right.
So I know that he's hearing it from his own party. I think he has enough time if he can stabilize oil prices and get them down. The elections aren't until November. People have short memories. So I think there's still time if he wants to pursue this war a little longer. But probably this summer, probably September, is when the point of no return hits for him in terms of gas prices.
Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you, sir. Mitchell B. Rees, diplomat who worked for five U.S. administrations, former National Security Advisor to Mitt Romney, now Distinguished Fellow at RUSI, the Royal United Services Institute. We should stand by our allies, as the former UK Deputy National Security Advisor said. Remember that Iran, through its funding and other proxies, have killed many, many British citizens, many British military personnel, and endangered many British citizens, but is this the point of no return, with Trump appearing to become increasingly unhinged? Back here in the UK, yet again, the doctors on strike. Chief Executive of NHS England, Sir Jim Mackey, spoke with me about that last week.
We are limited by the overall amount of money that we've got, though. So the NHS is a big part of public spending, as we talk about a lot, over £200 billion.
Considerable coverage, nationwide coverage on the doctor story coming up, but we'll come to our conversation and your views concerning Trump and Iran and that looming deadline after this. The 7:15 LBC News headlines are read by Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has brushed off concerns about committing possible war crimes as he reiterates his threat to strike Iran's power plants and bridges. The boss of Wireless Festival has defended Kanye West's headline spot following a widespread backlash and the loss of several sponsors. And a six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is just getting underway. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M20 westbound between junctions 4 at Leybourne and the M26 junction. It's because a lorry's broken down and one lane is closed. Queues on the M25 anti-clockwise from junctions 16 at the M40 to 15 at the M4. It's following an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. The A40 remains closed both ways between the Northern Roundabout and the Marylebone Flyover because of the ongoing bridge works, and that's causing delays on the M4 eastbound onto the elevated section. On the trains of anti-west coast and London Northwestern services remain suspended between Milton Keynes and Euston because of the ongoing works. Southern also suspended between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction, and also Southwestern Railway services are running between Twickenham and Kingston because of an ongoing investigation.
This is LBC.
To whoever finds this letter, my car broke down. There is nothing nearby, and I've already eaten my meal deal sandwich. Please tell my wife that I love her and that she was right. This jacket isn't waterproof. Signed, Daniel S.
Oh, actually, scrap that. Greenface just arrived. Blimey, less than an hour.
Local rescue, nationwide. Nothing beats near. Greenflag.
On average, we get to breakdowns in under an hour based on app and phone callouts combined. See greenflag.uk/data.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's
my
weight loss.
Weight loss?
I... No, forget that. No, you just have to
keep dancing.
Dragon fruit.
Podcast.
I swear.
Advice. Advice.
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress.
MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Morrison to Lidl and saving £41 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/you save. Which means a stocked up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh 5 a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 26 of the 3rd, 26. Morrison also sell other products. See online for more details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, Hayden, you got through. First, come to you for your reaction, how the world views Donald Trump, how the UK should react, as it is reported that we... And I don't quite know how we police this, but we, the United Kingdom, telling them, the US, you cannot use RAF bases for offensive strikes, only defensive strikes. How does that work? I'm not sure. Look, unsurprisingly, the papers basically divide. Either it's the doctors or it's Trump. Let's start with how we're starting. We're starting with Trump, so let's go with that. UK will refuse Trump access to British bases is the front page of The Eye, a story that I've mentioned a couple of times already. The Telegraph, Trump, I could wipe out Iran tonight. That's tonight, of course, their time, around 1 a.m. Tomorrow, our time, so goodness me, stay tuned to LBC for that. The Guardian, Trump says Iran can be taken out in one night as peace talks falter. And the irony cannot be lost. There is the president making this address and a giant rabbit standing to his left. It is the stuff of, I suppose, Saturday Night Live or whatever you might be. And then the other story is, of course, the junior doctor. So the resident doctor. We're speaking with the health secretary later in the show. £3 billion is the cost of doctor strikes. Now, this is a figure not just worked out by the particular paper that has it on the front page. That's the Daily Mail. A lot of other papers. We have got a senior member of the BMA joining us as well. The Daily Express, doctors hold patients hostage with strikes. Quickly telling you, on the LBC app, Trump threatens to obliterate all of Iran in one night. Enough, let's get to your voices on the radio. That's what we're about in the morning. Hayden is in Clacton-on-Sea. What should the UK do? How should we react if, of course, the president gets close to this deadline? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I think we need to distance ourselves from America as soon as possible. They can't use any of the bases for offensive or defensive strikes. We have the most powerful man in the world openly threatening genuine terrorism against Iran. We're at a point now where I don't think we can come back from this. Imagine we wake up tomorrow morning and he has actually executed these attacks.
Can I play back to you the words of Paddy McGuinness, who is the former UK Deputy National Security Advisor? We live under the safety of the US umbrella. We have lost service personnel to Iran. Iran-funded operations in Afghanistan and elsewhere. America is our only ally. I'm not saying that means we fly in and destroy everything, but we completely turn our back on the US now?
If you saw one of your closest friends making a decision that you knew was wrong, you would be wrong for not standing up and saying, you cannot do this, it's wrong. This is the point we're at now. Yes, okay, what happened in Afghanistan, it happened years ago, and okay, it's absolutely horrific. We are living in 2026. What happens in the next 24 hours will impact us for years and years and years to come.
Hayden, if you keep the analogy, which is a bit of a different one, but you talk about a friend, but would you sever all ties in that friendship?
It depends on how you stand and how you view things.
But are you honestly telling me you would sever all ties with the United States, Hayden?
The same thing that the United States said about Spain and have said about us over the last couple of months. That if that's the stance we need to take, we might not need to follow through with it, but we need to stand up to Donald Trump now and say, we cannot do this.
What
you
do you
cannot
mean we
do this.
I don't know that you can take a stance and knowing that you wouldn't follow through with it, would you? All right, I have to say that's what we see with Trump, which makes me think increasingly that he is in a world of pain. But
step one is standing up and saying our viewpoint, and that has to be that this is wrong. That has to be step one. If he follows through with it, there has to be some sort of consequence. We can't allow him to murder millions and hundreds of thousands of people, potentially, to prove a point.
But, and lastly, the point that Mr. McGuinness made about how we can actually rely on security, not just overseas, but also here in the UK, because of the assistance given by the US, we jeopardise that?
I don't think we jeopardise it long term. I think there has to be...
Well, it won't be our decision, of course.
...our relations, but you need to remember right now, in the next 24 hours, that this is crucial.
I know. Who knows what's going to happen in the... Tonight, their time, early hours this morning, our time. Hayden, thank you. Safe driving. I can tell you're in a motor vehicle. 7:24. Tony and Barnett. Tony, the reaction of the United Kingdom, what should it be? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I mean, what... You've already mentioned the word unhinged. I mean, we're reaching a point where Trump is almost delusionary. It's his approach to this is almost the same as Putin when he first invaded Ukraine. He thinks everything can be over in in a matter of a couple of days, and it's been proven wrong. And he's now panicking. He's absolutely panicking. You know, and he's. He reads the press. His advisors tell him, you know...
Well, he's got Trump those elections. Always... That's the key, Tony, isn't it? They're almost in the sight now, in a sense.
The elections, yeah, the elections are down the line. But, you know, the Iranians are not silly. They control a very, very important peninsula that's going to stop traffic going through. It's hitting Asia very, very hard now. It's going to hit us very hard soon.
So what does the United Kingdom do? Again, taking on board what Paddy McGuinness said to us, which I do think is a relevant point, and he was a senior national security advisor, that we sleep and we live and we go to work or come home from work today under the safety of a US umbrella.
It's very relevant what Paddy said, very relevant. We can't turn our back on probably our most important ally. Just that, you know, at this point in time, it has somebody running the show that whose views we perhaps veer very wildly from, but we can't turn our backs on them. And then we've got to view the Iranian leadership as it is. They're murderers, and they've been conducting terrorist activity for many, many years.
Final question: what do you hope happens by 1 a.m. tomorrow, our time?
I hope Trump sees sense and doesn't actually bomb or obliterate civilian infrastructure. He's actually hitting civilians. These are the civilians he wants on side. These are the civilians he says he wants, they are glad he's bombing them.
Yes, that's right. That
exactly.
was an extraordinary
exactly.
line over the weekend, that they're interdicting or intercepting messages of support from the people he's bombing, which, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the White House and I'm not in the Pentagon. I find it strange. Tony, thank you. We have to move on. More calls on this in a moment. But to the junior doctors or resident doctor strike here in the UK, it will cost hospitals £3 billion already. And for the 15th time in 3 years, the medics have walked out. We've got nationwide coverage, starting with Luke Shannon, LBC's reporter, joining us from the picket line, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham. Luke, good morning. What you got?
Morning, Nick. No picket lines just yet, but that will start from 8, as tens of thousands of resident doctors across England prepare to walk out for 6 days in what NHS England is warning could be a particularly challenging bit of strike action. You'll remember, Nick, I've spoken to you a fair few times about another long-running industrial row here in the city. But the scale of this dispute rivals even Birmingham's bin strike. As you say, 15 rounds of strike action by resident doctors in the last 3 years. And I think the frustration for many naysayers of this latest strike is that doctors have had wins already during this dispute. There was a pay deal back in September 2024 when 66% of British Medical Association members accepted an average pay uplift of nearly 25% over 2 years. That was the same deal that officially renamed junior doctors as resident doctors, which we all need to remember to refer to them by, Nick. The BMA says it wants full pay restoration. It argues that real terms pay has fallen by somewhere between 20 or 30% since 2008. And talks broke down most recently when doctors were offered a 3.5% pay rise for the current year, but turned that down. Health Secretary Wes Streeting's called this latest strike disappointing. He claims the deal put to resident doctors would have seen them more than 35% better off on average than they were 4 years ago. The BMA says resident doctors are just as keen to bring an end to the strikes as the Health Secretary, and they're blaming his government for watering down a deal that might have resolved all this. But the result in the meantime is more disruption for patients, which NHS England's warning could be even worse than expected after the walkout was called at supposedly short notice. But my LBC colleague Thea Rickard had more than enough notice to be outside Bristol Royal Infirmary for us. Thea.
Thank you, Luke. Yeah, people rely on this hospital in the centre of Bristol from right across the city and beyond for both routine appointments and in times of crisis. And today, resident doctors will form a picket line here again from 9 o'clock to mark yet another strike. As Luke said, there is expected to be some disruption this week, but the NHS advice to patients with planned appointments is to still go to them unless we've been directly contacted to reschedule. Health leaders have said this walkout is expected to be particularly challenging because of that shorter notice period that Luke mentioned, and also the fact it's happening during the Easter holidays, forcing some staff members back into hospitals during their annual leave. But if we need to use accident and emergency, the message, Nick, is very much still to go. That might be easier said than done in some parts of the southwest, like Cheltenham, though, where the A&E is shut and only being used as a minor injury unit until Monday, meaning locals will have to travel the more than 8 miles to Gloucester for emergency care. Now, of course, Nick, you'll remember the outbreak of coronavirus in the UK 6 years ago saw a swell of support for the NHS, with people across the country out clapping, banging pots and pans for doctors and nurses. So previously, when I've been speaking to members of the public, they've certainly been on the whole supportive of better pay and conditions for them. I've been speaking to Dan this morning, whose partner works here at the hospital.
I can understand why they feel like they need to strike, because in the terms of like higher up and management, it seems like they only really care about efficiency and they don't care about the mental health of the workers. My missus has worked there for like 10 years and she's honestly, for the past like 3 or 4 months, she's been speaking about like quitting and just leaving. The pressure that they're also dealing with their work, and then there's like they've got pressure from their work to be doing more stuff, and it's like they're already being spread thin enough.
But as the dial continues to shift and we see increasingly harsh words coming from Number 10 and Westminster more widely about these strikes, we'll have to wait and see whether public support for the resident doctors will begin to dwindle too. And for now, another 6 days of walkouts with, as yet, no end in sight.
Thea Rickard reporting, and before Thea, Luke Shanahan. Thanks for that. We'll come back to that conversation. We're going to have the Health Secretary, Wes Streeton, join us in the next hour, and the senior member of the BMA. But coming up immediately after the news, history in the making. Astronaut Jeremy Hansen sending this message back to Mission Control.
From the cabin of integrity here, as we surpass the furthest distance humans have ever traveled from planet Earth.
Now, they've got to 252,760 miles. So to put that into context, London to Sydney is 10,500 miles. They are 252,760 miles, and later they'll be travelling at a speed of 25,000 miles an hour. Quite some history. More on that to come. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. Newstime, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has reiterated his threat to destroy power plants and bridges in Iran tonight if it doesn't reopen the Strait of Hormuz. He says he isn't worried about warnings that targeting civilian infrastructure could be a war crime. Pressure is growing on Wireless Festival to remove Kanye West as its headliner, despite its boss defending the booking. Melvin Benn says the rapper's previous anti-Semitic remarks are abhorrent, but wants people to forgive him. And a six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway. The Health Secretary says it's disappointing, but insists people should continue to use the NHS as normal. And Wes Streeting will join Nick Ferrari at breakfast shortly after 8 a.m. this morning here on LBC. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland. Later, a high of 19 degrees.
Hear every side of the story. This is LBC.
All right, we've got Simon on the line. Simon, young people, they're just all a bit lazy, aren't they?
What are you saying?
Welcome to McDonald's.
Can I get 6 minutes, please?
Of course.
Some say young people are work-shy, but at McDonald's, we hired 47,000 of them last year.
Thank you very much. How's your night?
Like George here, who keeps things running during a Friday rush. Resilience. Making it happen at McDonald's.
It's happened again. All you said was barrel leg.
Now she's looking at you like Nadine isn't your real name. Look at you go, as you explain volume cocoon is a key shape for the season. 100% cotton, you say? No way, she says. And then, oh, a little extension of the trouser leg. Check out that pleat. Then you break the news.
They're from Primark. Only £16.
Be a good friend.
You can borrow them.
Hopefully she'll forget that. Shockingly chic for £16. That's so Primark. Available in-store and on Click and Collect.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park. Book now at nutcatch.com.
Label.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:35, back to your views concerning Donald Trump. That deadline, the clock is a-ticking, 1 a.m. tomorrow, our time. What do you hope happens? How far does the UK support go? Are we looking at increasingly unravelling, not alone just ravelling plan, unravelling president? More on that to come. Into the world of business now, Christian May is editor-in-chief at City AM, and it's often said that a rising tide lifts all boats, but sadly it seems to be going the other way in the square mile. Christian joins us now. What's going on, Christian? Front page of City AM. Morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, we've talked a lot about market volatility, market movements up and down, defence companies up, energy companies up, and the FTSE following the trend of other global markets in reacting to Donald Trump's decisions and indeed his outbursts. But we've had a look at the big five companies that actually listed, that went public, that joined the main stock exchange in London since the start of this year. And they are all down. There's always a debate about how healthy what they call the IPO, the initial public offering pipeline is. Can we expect more companies to come to the market? Is there evidence of energy and life in the public markets in London? And it seems that, well, I should say, I suppose every unhappy company is unhappy for its own reason. But there is something of a pattern here. Companies that went public in January, February, since the start of this year, or indeed since towards the end of last year, rather, are not doing terribly well. They've all now sunk below the price at which they launched. They've slumped by an average of 26%. And by comparison, London's 250 index is down by about 5.4% over the same period, whereas the FTSE 100 is up by more than 2%. So the market as a whole, the main market, FTSE 100, is actually up since last year, and the companies that have joined that market, or indeed the 250 market, are on the whole down, and that includes recent IPOs from the likes of Princes Group, British Bank Shawbrook, data centre and energy firm Fermi, and they're all spluttering somewhat and struggling. Now, they'll all have their own reasons for that, but I thought it was interesting to pull out the companies that have joined the market and look at how they've done in comparison to the market itself, and there is a bit of a discrepancy there.
You're sitting in your library. You're obviously a lover of books and the printed word, but you could also be swamped by new rights revolution, it is reported. Exactly how many words or books or pages does that contain?
Well, anybody who employs anybody in this country will know full well that the elements of the contentious, the highly contentious workers' rights legislation are coming into effect. I think day one sick pay has come into effect this week. There are many other elements to the bill, which has become an act because it's been passed by Parliament, the Employment Rights Act. And there will be many, many elements to that that have now gone out to consultation. So businesses and employers, and particularly small and medium-sized businesses for whom much of this will be a headache, are being asked to respond to seven different government consultations now, covering everything from access of trade unions to the workplace to how staff should share tips in restaurants. There are 10 reports that people are being asked to look at, totaling about 360 pages. People are being asked to respond to 173 different questions. There are multiple consultations running at the same time. So far, seven alive. 25 are planned overall for the new make work pay agenda. They're yet to be launched. That's going to include new crackdowns on zero-hour contracts, etc. And many of these changes, along with the increase in the national living wage, have already been introduced. So it is the start of the new tax year and start of a new regulatory minefield, if I can put it like that, for businesses who have got to get to grips with how the law is changing and, if they want, respond to the government's questions as to how they think it's all going to go.
Finally, which famous British dish could have had its chips?
Yeah, this is really tough. Gosh, we've talked a lot about oil prices, energy prices. We've talked about the 4 million diesel vehicles in the country. That does not include the fishing boats, the fleet. Fish and chip shops are now facing what the Telegraph call a battering by the rising costs from the war in Iran. And fishermen have warned that the surge in fuel prices and diesel prices mean that the cost of filling up a boat, for example, a fishing boat out of Peterhead in Scotland, was £5,000 worth of fuel in the tank of diesel before the war. It's risen now to about £10,000. So fuel costs alone could exceed £100,000. That is going to put up the price of fish, if indeed they brave those fuel costs and head out to sea. And indeed, once you get all the way down the chain to the chippies themselves, they're also going to be struggling under higher energy costs. So it's just one industry of many who are sounding the alarm. And I think it brings home, as people were perhaps out and about on Easter holidays thinking of going for fish and chips, that behind the scenes, many, many businesses, particularly energy intensive businesses, are really starting to feel the pinch.
It's a tough place to be. Christian May, Editor Chief at City AM, thank you for that. 7:40. John's in Wallington. John, what level of support should come from the UK now, if, of course, this deadline is reached? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah. We need to be 100% with the Americans on this, Nick. We really do.
Bombing Iran back to the Stone Age.
Well, stopping them from acquiring nuclear weapons, closing the Strait of Hormuz, which they were always going to do. The only difference being they would have been able to defend their position with nuclear weapons. They'd be demanding all the Gulf states right now expel the Americans, and they would be dominating the entire region, backed by Russia and China, and then turn their attention to Israel.
How worried are you that there doesn't appear to be a cogent plan? It almost changes by the hour, John.
Well, what concerns me most is that we're not 100% with the Americans on this, because, like I've said, Iran have got a mission, backed by Russia and China. Expel the West from the Middle East completely. Then turn their attention to Israel.
You are, and you're right, of course, they've made these threats, and we know that they've been involved in the killing of British military personnel as the former Deputy National Security Advisor. So you're happy to effectively press the button to go in tomorrow morning at 1?
Yes.
John, thank you. That deadline approaches. More on that to come. Two other matters. And the furthest flung humans in history spoke emotionally of home last night as the record breakers beamed a message back to Earth. After a communication blackout lasting around 40 minutes, contact with Mission Control was re-established. Here's the moment they regained contact with NASA.
Integrity from Earth, our single system, fragile and interconnected, we copy. Those of us that can are looking back.
Houston, we have you the same, and it is so great to hear from Earth again. To Asia, Africa, and Oceania, we are looking back at you. We hear you can look up and see the moon right now. We see you too.
The astronaut you heard from Artemis 2 is Christina Koch. Now, they set a new record, 252,760 miles. The previous record was made by accident.
And then if you could give your oxygen tanks a stir.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
Whoa. This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Tom Hanks and, of course, the great cast from Apollo 13. That got to 248,655 miles, if you want to be really particular. Let's turn to Dr. Maggie Liu, who's an astrophysicist and research fellow at the University of Nottingham. Doctor, thank you for coming on. Simple question. Why? Why are the US engaging in all this again? Good morning.
Good morning. So many reasons. We haven't been to the moon in over 50 years, and it seems like a massive step back right before. And now is more important than ever, I think, largely due to the second space race that we've got on. China planned to send humans to the moon again in the 2030s. And if the Americans don't get there first, then the Chinese could be getting the best spots for, we know on the moon that there are areas of frozen ice, which means water, which we can split into hydrogen for fuel and oxygen for breathing and sustainability. So if the best spots go, then they're gone. If we want to explore further out into the solar system, going to Mars, going beyond, we need to establish a permanent base where humans can extract fuel cheaply and launch more cheaply. Because the gravity is less on the moon, you can launch fuel much cheaper there than you can from Earth.
You're not the first expert to talk about the idea of going to Mars. Realistically, Doctor, how soon might that occur?
Well, we've been saying it for a long time already.
I know, since I was a kid reading books, and that was a long time ago, Doctor. You weren't even
I think SpaceX, Elon Musk's SpaceX, in particular Starship, is designed to carry humans to Mars. And there have been many attempts at that, but we're getting closer and closer for sure.
The significance of what we saw last night through this morning.
Amazing. Obviously, we saw the moon set behind the moon, the Earth set behind the moon and then rise again. We saw the sun go behind the moon and they glimpsed a solar eclipse for the first time. And they found features that human eyes have never set eyes on before. They're able to see features that we can't capture on camera. Things like color, things like albedo, which is like the reflectiveness of the moon. Loads of amazing things. Meteorites are hitting the moon all the time, creating new features. And the astronauts on board have been able to name some of the craters themselves, which has been super exciting to see.
Grateful for your time, Doctor. Thank you. Dr. Maggie Liu is an astrophysicist and research fellow at the University of Nottingham. Coming up after the news, we'll come back to your reactions. How far should that UK support be? As the deadline, unfortunately, ticks down to 1 a.m. tomorrow. Meanwhile, time to can Kanye over the wireless festival. Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davey told LBC last week,
"This is a person who wrote a song saying, 'Heil Hitler,' praising Adolf Hitler. The Home Secretary should ban him from coming to this country."
And we'll get into more on that after this. 7:46 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has reiterated his threat to destroy power plants and bridges in Iran tonight if it doesn't reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Pressure is increasing on Wireless Festival to remove Kanye West as its headliner despite its boss defending the booking. And a six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland. Later, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M20 westbound between junctions 4 at Leybourne and the M26 interchange. It's because a lorry's broken down and one lane is closed. The M25 on the western stretch remains very busy both ways at junction 16 at the M40 after an accident that happened anti-clockwise. Also on the Chiswick High Road right near to Kew Bridge Station, some emergency repair works happened to take place, so that's causing delays both ways. On the trains, Avanti West Coast and London North Western service are disrupted. They can't run between Euston and Milton Keynes because of the engineering works which still take place on the West Coast main line. So as a result, there's a replacement bus service running instead.
LBC.
Right, what's for dinner tonight? Co-op's meal range served is prepped and ready for easy cooking. Choose from a selection of Mexican-inspired mains and sides and dinner is served for two. All for just £8 for Co-op members. Co-op. Owned by you. Right by you.
Ends 5th of May. Selected products. Co-op group membership required. Subject to availability. T's and C's and range at co-op.co.uk/served.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Ready for a new kitchen? Wix Kitchen Experts can support you with clever designs and a professional installation. Book your free kitchen design appointment at Wix.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Morrison to Lidl and saving £41 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/you save. Which means a stocked up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh buy of a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 26th of the 3rd, 26th. Morrison's also sell other products. See online for more details.
Go all Irish to France with great low prices. With Irish Ferries, you can for less less. Irish Ferries, see travel differently. T's and C's apply.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot will have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's draw. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules apply, 18 plus.
You want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do is...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's...
My tip is...
Weight loss?
Forget that.
Keep dancing.
Dragon fruit.
Podcast.
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come back to your calls, Daniel, coming to you in a moment. Just a couple that are coming in from social media. Debbie Al says, you heard the experts. Trump is saving you guys sitting snugly in the West from eventual obliteration by a murderous regime. Tor says Trump is absolutely not becoming increasingly unhinged. He always was unhinged. And lastly, this says, Tony says, Iran warns it will destroy the causeway between Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Mixed views there. Daniel's in Oxford. The deadline's ticking. What should the United Kingdom say or do? Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Nick. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great to have you on. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank you.
So I think we really have to tread carefully with Trump. He's shown in the past that he's happy to make radical decisions with reckless abandon, really. So I think that we can't turn our back on the US, taking into account everything that Paddy McGuinness was saying about our defence. Mm-hmm. That's invaluable. It's irreplaceable. I think even if we were to try and wait out Trump in the long term, it could do damage to the UK in the short term. We're already seeing prices go through the ceiling. I think we have to remember that, you know, Trump effectively started this. At the same time, the Iranian regime does need to go. But I just think that Trump is so volatile and so unpredictable that we need to ally ourselves with the Americans, but not follow them into the gates of hell. I don't think we need to validate Trump.
So where do we draw the line? I think I pretty much echo all you say, but how do we make that distinction?
It's difficult, really. I think we do what we can in terms of allowing the Americans to use our bases and things like that, just giving them like a leapfrog to go and do whatever they decide to do. But we shouldn't be adding to the arsenal of weapons to bomb the Iranians. Just because of cost implications for the UK, I just think that if we join something that we didn't necessarily start, in modern warfare, it's just going to be detrimental to the UK, and we need to look after ourselves at the minute because things aren't great here.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. First time at Daniel B. A second time. Look forward to hearing from you. First time, first class. Be like Daniel. Get it off your chest and get it on the radio. Excuse me. 7:53 is the time. Now, do you fancy later this summer going along and to see an anti-Semite, a Hitler supporter perform? Get yourself to the Wireless Festival. He wrote the album Heil Hitler. He sold T-shirts with swastikas on it. There's no doubting exactly where he stood, although he claims he's had some kind of conversion now. I speak of the Wireless Festival as, of course, pressure grows now on the organisers who've put out the most baffling statement of support, which I'll re-share with you in a moment, that they should actually ban Kanye West, who calls himself something else now, for even coming into the country. Stephen Silverman, Director of Investigations and Enforcement at Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, joins me now. What do you hope the government decides to do? Mr. Silverman, good morning.
Well, I hope the government decides to do more than the usual declarations of the unacceptability of anti-Semitism and solidarity with the Jewish community that has marked its reaction to anti-Semitism over the last 2.5 years. You know, Keir Starmer's statement on the matter was all well and good, and, you know, it's great that he made it, but he has the power to do something about it and not just sit back and hope that the response of the sponsors will be what it is turning out to be. And all credit to Pepsi, Diageo and PayPal for their principled stance. But Keir Starmer has it within his power to ban from the country any citizen who would not be conducive to the public good. And this is a very clear case for doing that, precisely that.
The justification appears to be from him and the organisers. He's had some kind of conversion, that he wants to open a dialogue, he wants to show he's sorry. How do you respond to that, Mr. Silverman?
Look, you know, everybody should have the right to redeem themselves, to be rehabilitated, and to regain the place that they once held in their professions or in society. But at the moment, it's just words. With no meaningful action. And we've had with Kanye West multiple cycles of apology furthered by further anti-Semitic conduct, the most recent being in January this year when he blamed his behaviour on bipolar disorder. If he's sorry, it's great that he's sorry, but we've not seen any evidence that it's genuine and that it's long-lasting. And with that in mind, the invitation to headline Wireless and the response of Wireless to this is quite astonishing.
Let's talk lastly about that response. Melvin Benn, who is the managing director of Festival Republic, they put on the Wireless Festival, says that he, Benn, is a committed anti-fascist who in the 1970s lived on one of the Israeli kibbutzes that was attacked in the October 7th attacks back in 2023. How much of a justification is that to you, Mr. Silverman?
None. None. The fact remains that Kanye West is a serial abuser of the Jewish community, and he should not be reinstated before his remorse has been shown to be genuine and long-lasting.
Stephen Silverman, thank you for your time. Director of Investigations and Enforcement, a campaign against anti-Semitism, 4 minutes to eight. Let's pick up on calls on that. We will come back to Donald Trump. Coming up in the next hour, I should tell you, of course, we'll get into the resident doctor's strike, and we'll be hearing from the health secretary. Meanwhile, Cameron in Wigan. Cameron, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Nick. Hello, sir.
Okay?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm Grant. What are you going to tell me?
Yeah, to be honest with the Kanye West thing, I must say first and foremost, I understand the plight that the Jewish people have had through history and that anti-Semitism is an issue. Hmm. However, I think the mainstream rhetoric on this situation is quite frankly ridiculous, and a lot of it does entail signalling virtue. If we look at Wireless Festival particularly, this is a festival that has consistently platformed drill artists that talk about sex, degeneracy, drugs, violence. I understand that there's implied harm towards the Jewish community with 15 million Jewish people living globally. However, there's 14 million under 21s in the United Kingdom who could be heavily influenced by drill music and the, you know, the references that are used in this sort of stuff. And I think a lot of these sponsors that are pulling out, the signalling virtue, if they cared about actual damage to human life, you wouldn't be platforming drill artists.
I'm not familiar with the Wireless Festival. It's something that I have never and never intend to visit. And I hear what you say. But I don't know that that means that you can allow all sorts of other artists to turn up, Cameron. You make very relevant points about drill and what can be the detriment of it. But do we just allow this to effectively descend into a morass and put on anything you like over there?
I think the thing particularly with Kanye West is obviously maybe I come from a particular stance of bias because I enjoy his music. Mm-hmm. However, you know, he blamed it on a bipolar episode. And yet again, I think the widespread rhetoric on this for companies that are consistently parading for Men's Mental Health Month, talking about the dangers of mental health, for someone that's had a perceived mental health episode to be cast aside like this, I think it speaks further of the hypocrisy on this situation.
But lastly, Cameron, this isn't a one-off incident. This is a pattern. If he had just done one thing, i.e. Heil Hitler or the T-shirts or whatever, this is a pattern of behaviour we have here, Cameron. If I suddenly go mad now and start screaming foul language, LBC, quite right, it would take me off air and I could say that I had some kind of... If I came back and 2 weeks later I did it again, that then speaks to a pattern of behaviour. And that's what we have with this rather disreputable artist, isn't it?
Yeah, I do agree with that side of things. However, I do believe that everyone should have a chance of redemption. And I must go back to the previous point that I don't think people are going to be going into the streets making violent attacks against the Jewish community based on Kanye West performing.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Have yourself a safe day. Cameron, thank you. We're going to be picking up on that story again later in the show. And also, as I say, we'll come back to our conversation concerning Donald Trump. But the music means we move on, and we will move on by moving into a further conversation on the resident doctor strike. Wes Streeting, Health Secretary, spoke last month about what he sees as increasingly unrealistic demands from those doctors.
Anyone looking in objectively would see the government has done everything we can, and we are at a point where the resident doctors committee's expectations are beyond reasonable and realistic.
Plus, why no one goes to Waitrose, the growing idea of a boycott after a worker with 17 years under his belt is sacked. His crime was to tackle shop theft. Waitrose talk of other issues. Well, let's hear what they are, and we will, of course, return to that conversation concerning Donald Trump and that impending or looming deadline. 8 o'clock, LBC News headlines are next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, President Trump has rejected warnings his plan to hit Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. Mr. Trump has given Tehran a deadline of tonight to reopen the vital shipping lane of the Strait of Hormuz. Yesterday, Iran rejected peace proposals which suggested a temporary rather than a permanent ceasefire. Former US National Security Advisor Mitchell B. Reese has told LBC, Mr. Trump's rhetoric indicates a weakening position.
The president is increasingly searching for options for an off-ramp here. The way he's going through it is by escalating the rhetoric, certainly, and I think it is likely that there will be an additional military escalation this evening. But the big question is always, and then what? And then what? Will it actually lead to the Iranians compromising, or will they double down? And so far, in the course of this war, they've done nothing but double down.
Pressure's increasing on Wireless Festival to remove Kanye West as its headliner, despite its boss defending the booking. Melvin Benn says the rapper's previous anti-Semitic remarks are abhorrent, but wants people to forgive him. The performer has apologised previously and blamed his bipolar disorder. Stephen Silverman is from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism and has told Nick this morning the rapper needs to back up his words with action.
If he's sorry, it's great that he's sorry, but we've not seen any evidence that it's genuine and that it's long-lasting. And with that in mind, the invitation to headline Wireless and the response of Wireless to this is quite astonishing.
In a news statement, Kanye West says he wants to meet with the UK's Jewish community in person to show that he's changed. A six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, says it's disappointing but insists people should continue to use the NHS as normal. Mr. Streeting will join Nick Ferrari at Breakfast Live here on LBC shortly after this bulletin. Up to 250 schools in knife crime hotspots will receive specialist training in a bid to divert children away from serious violence. £1.2 million in government funding will be invested across England and Wales. And NASA's Artemis 2 mission is on its way back to Earth after travelling around the far side of the moon. They journeyed more than 252,000 miles into space, further than any human has gone before. In the city, the FTSE 100 just reopened at 10,436. It closed up 71 on Thursday. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland later. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
You know what you're getting with a bank holiday weekend? Traffic. Drizzle. Service station snacks. The sea.
Look, the sea.
Pebbly beach. Aggressive seagulls. Drinks at the local cafe / nightclub. A late night takeaway.
Chili, garlic.
Sometimes in life you just know what you're getting, like a luxury bed and a great night's sleep. You know what you're getting with Premier Inn.
This is LBC from Global. leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after eight, Tuesday, April the 7th. Let's pick up on the story you heard on the LBC News Bulletin there. They're out again. The doctor will not see you now, the 15th time in 3 years. The cost has come in £3 billion. Health Secretary Wes Streeting joins us in just a few moments. In other news, the growing row concerning Waitrose and the decision to sack a veteran worker. His crime was to try and stop shop theft. David McKelvey is CEO of TMI, a private company investigating shop theft. He's also a former senior copper with the Met.
Shop staff and security staff are told you will not intervene and you will lose your job if you do. Until such time as they, the retailers, start to support prosecutions, nothing's going to change.
The deadliest of deadlines is looming, 1 a.m. tomorrow, that we could bomb, or the US could bomb Iran back to the Stone Age. Former UK Deputy National Security Advisor Paddy McGuinness told me in the previous hour.
We sit under an American umbrella every day. British people are safer from terrorism, from crime, and from hostile states because of our American partnership.
Plus, time to can Kanye. Former Conservative Attorney General Sir Michael Ellis told LBC over that Kanye West booking.
Further consultation should be made in future by organisers of festivals and by sponsors.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The strike is on, the 15th round of industrial action since 2023. Today's walkout started at 7 o'clock in the morning, will last 6 days. The doctors are striking in pursuit of a 26% pay rise on top of the 28.9%, let's call it 29%, they received over the past 3 years. There's the facts. Here's the view of Health Secretary Wes Streeting, who joins me now. Well, unfortunately, I'm sure you and your colleagues did all you could, but you couldn't avert it. We find ourselves yet again in industrial action. Secretary of State, your reaction. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, the most regrettable thing about this is, despite having been the standout winners of the public sector when it comes to pay rises given by this Labour government, the 29% that you referenced just there, there was a deal on the table that would have given them an average 4.9% pay rise for the coming year. Additional training places, 1,000 of which would have opened for applications this month. The cancellation of the mandatory exam fees they face that can amount to thousands a year for the doctor. In that backdrop, with that deal on the table, it is just extraordinary that they have chosen instead to take their members out on strike to inflict damage on the NHS in this way and disruption to patients. We're doing everything we can to keep the show on the road. In fact, emergency services tend to run better when resident doctors are on strike, ironically, because we have more senior doctors who step in to cover their shifts. And I'm very grateful to doctors who are stepping forward to cover emergency services today. And we're also managing to maintain 95% of planned care, the tests, the operations, scans. But to the 5% that are not going ahead this week, I'm only too sorry, because I know that many of those people would have been waiting, often waiting longer than I would have wanted them to wait already. And this has real consequences for them, both in terms of the anxiety of waiting for something to happen, and in some cases, the pain of waiting for something to happen. And the BMA have got a lot to answer for, I'm afraid.
Analysis done by one newspaper this morning, Secretary of State, the Daily Telegraph, shows that 3 years of strikes have taught those leading the NHS some useful lessons. A number of hospital chief executives have said during the last set of strikes, just before Christmas, the NHS actually ran far more smoothly. Now, they are a great body of men and women. I know you would be the first to attest to that, and I will come second behind you on that one. But is there an argument that actually hospitals, in some senses, run more smoothly without a junior doctor if a senior man or woman takes the decisions? Secretary of State.
Yes, but there are consequences for that. And there is a toll on consultants. So we're going to do everything we can to mitigate against this strike action. We will be able to sustain and withstand strike action on an ongoing basis, if that's the way the BMA take things. But that comes in an enormous waste of time, money and potential. You know, the NHS is finally moving in the right direction. It is on the road to recovery. We're seeing that with falling waiting lists. We're seeing it with faster ambulance response times and many other indicators. But I'd be the first to say, and many of your listeners would be right in behind me on the switchboard, saying that the NHS still has massive problems. There are still big challenges. It's not always there for people where they need it, when they need it. And so for the doctors' union to try and slam the brakes on the progress we're making, I think it is so appalling, given, as I say, they have been the standout winners of pay across the public sector.
You've mentioned how consultants sort of step up, as it were. They're paid up to £313 an hour to cover for their junior colleagues, now known as resident doctors. The total cost so far has been £3 billion. What might you have done with an additional £3 billion to the National Health Service budget, Secretary of State?
Well, I mean, we could have built a few hospitals for that. We could have run far more appointments and procedures with that money to cut waiting lists faster. Those would probably be the things that I would have chosen to prioritise. Now, some of the resident doctors listening this morning might now be shouting at their radio saying, well, that £3 billion, that would cover the full cost of pay restoration. Except, Nick, that would be not just £3 billion over 3 years, that would be £3 billion, which is the cost of strikes, that would be £3 billion a year. Other NHS staff would then understandably say, well, what about us? That would then cost £30 billion. That's more than the entire cost of the Ministry of Justice, more than it costs to run the entire criminal justice system, the prisons, the courts, the probation officers. It's not serious. And here's the kicker. Having rejected a 4.9% pay rise, the BMA are offering their own staff a 2.75% pay rise on affordability grounds. So the position of the doctors' union is they're not willing to put their hands in their own pockets to fund their own staff, but they're expecting the taxpayer to put their hands in their pockets to fund even higher pay rises for staff who've had the biggest rises in the entire public sector. I do not think this is remotely reasonable or realistic.
When does the BMA have to go back to its membership for another strike ballot?
Not for another 6 months or so.
How likely is it that you and I are going to be having conversations then concerning further resident doctor strikes, do you imagine, Mr. Streeting?
Well, who knows? I mean, I've had resident doctors emailing me because they are really upset and angry that the 1,000 new training places that we were offering aren't now open for application this month. And I'm having to politely say to those resident doctors, you're complaining to the wrong person. I didn't cancel those places. I didn't reject those places. I offered those places. The BMA rejected them. And the BMA seem to think you can have all of the benefits of a deal at the same time as rejecting it. There will be no fewer doctors as a result. It just means that instead of being in training places with better conditions and better pay, those resident doctors will be in what's known as locally employed doctor places. So there are no fewer doctors, but will their pay be as good? Will their conditions and prospects be as good? No. And the people responsible for that are their own union, the BMA, and resident doctors should tell their reps what they think.
In a related conversation, NHS staff were off work with mental health issues such as anxiety and stress for a record 8 million days last year. Patients have been left on waiting lists as a result. Secretary of State, your reaction to those figures?
Well, I am worried about it. I think these are stressful jobs. And I worry about the state of the NHS. Despite all the improvement that we are seeing, we're not out of the woods. And again, I would say to the BMA, the £3 billion that you have cost the NHS in the last 3 years, the £300 million you're costing the NHS this week, wouldn't that be put to better use, making sure we've got staff working in better conditions? Because this isn't, you know, there are choices and trade-offs here. You know, we inherited public services in a terrible state. Public finance is not much better off. And now look at the state of the world. I don't pretend to have solved everything for resident doctors or for the NHS in less than 2 years as the health secretary. All I ask of the BMA is to accept that I can't solve all of the problems in less than 2 years. It is going to take time. It does cost money that is in short supply. So there needs to be some give and take, and we need to do this together. The government's done a lot of giving. The BMA's done a lot of taking. I've not seen much compromise from them in the middle.
Last couple of minutes together, just to move on. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke with Anne Keane, the former Labour MP and minister, someone you possibly know personally, and you've known me a long time. I can't recall an interview with such impact. She talked about this so-called forced adoption scandal in 1967. Just briefly, pay you about 30 seconds of what she told me.
Hello, Wes. It's Anne Keane. I'm wondering if you can help me. I know you do support me, and I know you're aware I had a baby at 17 that was taken from me. This was such an injustice that happened to thousands of women between the 50s, 60s and 70s. I wonder if you could help me by asking your cabinet colleagues to also support me. We are short of time because many of us are in our 70s and 80s, and we would really hope that you can help us to get this apology, because the state was involved and we deserve it.
It's a shocking story she gave us, and that personal question. Mr. Streeting, your response.
Well, Anne is a wonderful woman, and when she first told me about what she had been through, I could scarcely believe that the British state could be responsible for such an unimaginable act of cruelty. And as the son of a teenage mother, I am only too grateful that I was born in the 1980s. Not an easy time for single mums, but at least my mother wasn't forced to give me up for adoption. Had I been born decades earlier, my mum might have well been in the same position as Anne Keane. I do think the British state has to answer for this. And in terms of there being a formal apology, that would be a really big moment. I think it's a moment whose time has come. And I've seen what the Prime Minister has said publicly. I think he recognises this. And it's not for me to make announcements on something as serious and important and grave as this. But I don't think the Prime Minister will need any persuading from me. So watch this space.
Thank you for that. Ministers are considering banning Kanye West from entering Britain to headline that festival. I think you're also aware of this. The defence from Melvin Benn, the organiser, is that he's here to perform. That would seem to suggest that if Vladimir Putin played the balalaika, we would invite him here to UK. What should happen over Kanye West?
Well, I thought it was a terrible statement from the Wireless Festival overnight, which attempted to give Kanye West the fig leaf of credibility he doesn't deserve. He didn't make one or two off-colour remarks during a bipolar episode. He wrote, recorded and released a song called Heil Hitler, plastered it across T-shirts, has given a mealy-mouthed and self-serving apology, and as far as I can see, has done little to earn the forgiveness of Jewish people. It's not for me to forgive, I'm not Jewish. And I think forgiveness has to be earned. You have to repent and redeem yourself through action, not just words. We're far from that. He shouldn't be headlining the festival. And it seems to me that the organisers are putting money before morals, and I think that's a real shame.
Finally, how nervous are you about the deadline? 1 a.m. our time, 8 p.m. Eastern time in the United States, when Iran could be bombed back to the Stone Age. Secretary of State.
Not a day has gone by where I haven't felt that the way this war has unfolded has vindicated the judgment of the Prime Minister in keeping us out of this war. You know, I think there are few British Prime Ministers alive who would have made the same decision. It's not been without consequence. It has strained our relationship with the United States on this issue, although we continue to work very, very closely on many others. It was a big call. It was the right call. It was not a judgment that the Prime Minister's critics would have shown. In fact, Kemi Badenoch and Nigel Farage couldn't wait to condemn Keir Starmer and to crawl up to Donald Trump until they realised how unpopular it was, and then they came crawling back again. I'm sorry, that's not leadership. That's self-serving and performance in the middle of an international crisis. I think the Prime Minister has shown why he was elected to be this country's Prime Minister. I am frankly glad we have this Prime Minister, because many others would not have shown the same judgment, and I think he deserves credit for it.
And that extends lastly to not allowing RAF bases to be used for any strikes later tonight.
Yes, we've been very clear. We will allow the US to use our bases to defend British interests and our allies in acts of defence. We are engaged in defensive action. Iran has attacked us and our allies when we have played no part in this war. So we'll defend ourselves, defend our interests, our people and our allies, but we will not support or facilitate offensive action.
Grateful for your time. Wes Streeting explaining the £3 billion cost of those doctor strikes which kicked off just over an hour ago. Wes Streeting, Secretary of State for Health, thank you. 8:18, LBC News headlines read by Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to hit Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. The bosses of Wireless Festival remain under pressure to remove Kanye West as its headliner despite defending the booking. And a six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Two lanes are closed on the Surrey stretch of the M25 clockwise between junctions 8 at Reigate and 9 at Leatherhead. It's because a lorry's broken down and two lanes are closed. Still very slow on the M23 southbound, heading down towards junction 9 at Gatwick Airport, but that car which broke down earlier has now been recovered. In West London, the A40 remains closed both ways between the Northern Roundabout and the Marylebone Flyover for the ongoing bridge works. That's making the M4 very busy eastbound, but there are delays from the M25 to junction 4 at Heathrow, and that's because of an accident. Still no West Coast main line running between Milton Keynes and Euston, so that's affecting Avanti West Coast and London Northwestern.
This is LBC.
Look at you. The future is unpredictable at times, but the Open University are the experts in online learning, allowing you to fit study around your life. What's more, you'll have support from dedicated tutors every step of the way. Now, suddenly your possibilities are open. Search the Open University to find out more. The Open University. The future is open.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Switching to Vodafone full fibre broadband is now as easy as pie. Ooh, freshly baked. It's a walk in the park. Hello, little fella. It's like taking candy from a baby. Come on, as if I'd do that. With One Touch Switch, it's easy. We sort everything out for you. We even contact your current provider. Plus, we'll help towards leaving fees. Switch today to full fibre broadband with Vodafone.
Up to £200 credit to cover leaving fees. More information and terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
Jay here knows that Zoopla can provide valuations for any home in the UK, so we can see what that new couple across the road might have paid.
Ooh la la.
Have a nose at what the curtain twitchers next door could sell for. And even see what his own place is worth.
Cool, look at that.
Plus, Zoopla lets you find and compare local estate agents if you do decide to sell up. Think of all those new neighbours you'll be able to snoop on, Jay. If you want to know, just ask Zoopla.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot will have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching.
Get in tonight's draw. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules apply, 18 plus.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:21, we'll come to your reaction concerning the doctor's strike in a moment. We've been speaking with the Health Secretary, so let's bring to the conversation Dr. Callum Parr, Resident Doctor, Deputy Chair of the BMA Resident Doctors Committee, joining us from a picket line at the Guy's and St. Thomas's NHS Foundation Trust in London. Are you in Southwark at Guy's or are you at St. Thomas's by the river? Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning. I'm standing at St. Thomas's looking at Big Ben
okay.
right now.
Okay, looking at Westminster where the decisions are made, and we've just been hearing from the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting. He told me this...
There was a deal on the table that would have given them an average 4.9% pay rise for the coming year. Additional training places, 1,000 of which would have opened for applications this month. The cancellation of the mandatory exam fees they face that can amount to thousands a year for the doctor. With that deal on the table, it is just extraordinary that they have chosen instead to take their members out on strike to inflict damage on the NHS in this way and disruption to patients.
Like to offer you and your colleagues a response, Doctor.
Yeah, so I think what the Health Secretary has admitted is that we were looking at a deal where we were potentially within touching distance of a deal that meant that we weren't on the picket lines today. But what they decided to do at the last minute was take the money that could have gone into resident doctors' pay to avert this strike action. They decided to reduce that investment and then spread it over for a long period of time. What that meant was the real terms pay cuts were a real risk for doctors. That's not something that our members would have supported. That's why we rejected the deal. We feel that if they hadn't made that last minute change, we could have been, you know, avoiding strike action today. But ultimately, that was a decision that the government take.
Yes, the Health Secretary also pointed to the fact that you have enjoyed a 26% pay rise on, oh, sorry, you were requesting 26, I apologise, on top of the 28.9% you've had over the past 3 years.
So that's a mischaracterisation. So we are not asking for 26% in one go. That has never been our request. We are willing to look over a number of years. But that has to make credible progress to restoring our pay back to what it was in 2008. So if you look at a doctor who did my exact job, so I'm currently working in intensive care, I've literally just come off night shifts over the weekend. A doctor doing that same job in 2008 was paid a fifth more than me. We don't think that that was acceptable. We think that we should continue a journey. And we have started that journey under this Health Secretary. But ultimately, we are going in reverse now. They're talking about real terms pay cuts. What we're asking for is just to continue the journey that we've started on.
And yet, the greatest of ironies, BMA staff are, of course, not getting anything like that sort of pay rise. 2.75%, I understand.
So I'm not personally involved with setting BMA staff pay.
You must see the irony, Doctor.
I think the BMA staff are brilliant. I stood with them on the picket line the last time they were on strike a couple of weeks ago in solidarity with them. They support my work and they support my members. And I support any profession who want to, you know, restore their pay, whether that's BMA staff, whether that's teachers, nurses or resident doctors who I represent. And ultimately, that's why I'm on the picket line today, because we are risking further real terms pay cuts on a background of 2 decades of real terms pay cuts.
But I mean, you talk about, or your colleagues talk about, how your pay has eroded over the years. We've had the banking crash, the COVID pandemic, 2 energy crises. The reality is, sadly, that you and your colleagues, quite rightly, have done better than almost any other sector. What more do you need?
But ultimately, when, you know, the Health Secretary said that we are standout winners, when you look over that period of time, resident doctors and consultants are the standout losers. Our pay has been eroded more than any other workforce.
I don't wish to be a chase to the bottom, but talk to firefighters, talk to police officers, talk to military personnel, talk to people who sweep the streets. Doctor, you and your colleagues, quite rightly I say again, because you save lives, you've done incredibly well by comparison.
Absolutely, but that's restoring part of our pay back to what it was in 2008. Any of those groups that you've just mentioned, if they want to go and fight out for fair pay and to restore their pay back to levels, then I would absolutely support them in that. But ultimately, we are losing doctors. The Health Secretary spoke about wanting to build hospitals and run more operations. Ultimately, you need resident doctors in those training posts to become consultants and GP to deliver those services. Ultimately, they've made choices that mean that we don't have those training posts, so we are seeing 1,000 fewer doctors go into those training posts now, and that's a massive shame.
Thanks for your time. I do hope this is resolved, and thanks for the work you and your colleagues do. Dr. Callum Parr joining us from the picket line there at St. Thomas's in Westminster. He's a resident doctor and deputy chair of the Resident Doctors Committee. Matt is joining us from outside the BMA headquarters in Camden in London. Matt, your point on this. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, so I'm the branch secretary for GMB at BMA.
We spoke last month.
That's right, we did.
I recognise your voice.
It was only a week ago.
Oh, was it last week? I'm so sorry. Yep, okay, yep.
We were on strike just over a week ago, over pay.
Yep.
We're back on strike today. We've had no contact from management over since we went on strike. There's been no efforts from management to come to the table. We keep hearing the door's always open, but we don't see that door being open. There's been no movement, no suggestions of talks, and we're disappointed to be on strike today. But our members feel that we have no option but to stand up for our pay, for what's right, and we just wish the BMA would come to the table.
Do you sense you're being a little bit forgotten here?
It does feel like that in some ways, yes. I think staff do feel that we've made great strides for resident doctors, and I think resident doctors are right to take action, and we stand in solidarity with them. But we're here today because our pay is eroded as well, and we want to get back to working with members in their fight for fair pay and jobs. Our fight is with management, not the BMA members that we support.
It's extraordinary that management, I say again, not the doctors themselves, but management are not speaking with you. So when you hear that they've earned 28.9% over the past 3 years, they want a 26% pay rise over a period of years, how do you and your colleagues react to that?
Well, I think doctors' pay is for their, it's up to doctors how they fight for their pay, and we will support them in their fight. And I think every worker deserves a fair pay rise, whether it's private sector, public sector, wherever. Below inflation pay rises means is a pay cut, effectively, and that's what BMA staff are getting. That we've had years of below inflation pay rises, 2.75% when inflation is much more than that and is set to increase is just not acceptable. And all we're asking for is the same pay restoration that we're working for BMA members.
Do stay in touch, Matt. Thank you for calling. I do remember our conversation. I'm sorry, as recently as last week. Sorry, that's the Easter break. Probably got it, lose it. And thank you for your time. Good luck with what you're trying to achieve. 8:28 is the time. It does seem most ironic, doesn't it? Adam in Manchester, what level of support do you have for our resident docs? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Not much, to be honest. I just think that it just seems to be very self-serving. I'm echoing essentially similar to what you said. They've had more than most. Wouldn't we all like things to be, you know, the cost of things to be as they are in 2008? I essentially, to put it bluntly, I think they just need to get on with it. Things are changing. Cost goes up. Wages, unfortunately, go down. But they've had, what, is it like 28% more?
Here we go. 28.9.
More than anybody else. Wouldn't we all like more money? And it just seems to be that it's the general public who are paying with the wallets, and also with their health, the family's health.
I know, and people are on waiting. Let me ask you this lastly: do you think, in a sense, and I'm sure you agree with me, that the men and women, the doctors, are for a number of people? Do you think the union's become a bit politicised here?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I just think that it's either you go into that job with a look to care for people, but it just, at the moment, well, for as long as I can remember, it just seems to be very, very self-serving. How much is enough? How much is enough? And nobody can seem to answer that question.
Really enjoyed our conversation, Adam. Have yourself a good day. Thank you. We'll stay with that. Also coming up later in the show, we'll go back to events. The deadline ticking away there till 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. And, of course, also a decision concerning that Kanye West appearance at that festival. We'll come back to that. But immediately after the news...
When we ask more questions, we get to better answers. Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
Well, soon no one goes to Waitrose as a boycott appears to be growing over a decision to sack a worker with 17 years under his belt. More on that after this. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Headlines. I'm Dominic Ellis.
The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has told Nick he thinks wireless festival bosses are putting money before morals over the booking of Kanye West. The rapper has apologised for previous anti-Semitic remarks and has asked to meet the UK's Jewish community to show that he's changed. Wes Streeting has also told LBC he hasn't seen a lot of compromise from Doctors' Union, the BMA, in their row over pay and jobs. A six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England started earlier this morning. And Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. The US president has given Tehran until tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees.
This is LBC. Looking for a new kitchen that you can't wait to come home to? Wix has over 80 kitchen styles, from ultra-modern to timeless classics. And options for every budget, with kitchens for first homes and forever homes too. So book your free kitchen design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix.
Oh, you want weight loss advice?
Weight loss? Actually, what you want to do...
I got my weight loss secret from my mother, who got it from her mother's...
My tip is...
Weight loss?
Forget that.
Dragon fruit.
Podcast.
Advice.
Or you could go to MedExpress. MedExpress. Healthcare without the noise. Go to medexpress.co.uk/weightloss.
Ali 60 milligram hard capsules contain orlistat for overweight adults with a BMI of 28 plus. Follow a reduced calorie, low fat diet. Always read the label.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Extraordinary story that I watched develop over the weekend, 8:33 is the time, is this Waitrose, the store. Now, they're being urged to rehire an employee who was sacked after trying to stop a shoplifter, or shop thief, but we say shoplifter, don't we, who was stealing Easter eggs. Even the politicians are getting involved. Now, the Conservatives are criticising the fact that Walter Smith has been dismissed from the shop in Clapham Junction in southwest London. He'd worked there for 17 years. Mr. Smith is 54, if that's important to you. He said he tried to retrieve a bag full of Lindt Gold Bunny Easter chocolates, which cost £13 each, from the shoplifter, or shop thief. He said the bag broke in the struggle, and the thief fled. He did throw a few broken bunnies at shopping trolleys out of frustration and was dismissed 2 days later. Chris Filt, the Shadow Home Secretary, has written to the MD of Waitrose, saying the supermarket has acted disgracefully and he should be reinstated. Nick Timothy, the Shadow Justice Secretary, wrote, "This cannot be right. Those who uphold the law as they do their job should be protected." Nigel Evans, a former Tory MP whose family ran a newsagent and convenience store in Swansea, says, "As a former shopkeeper, can I say, this is insane. Waitrose should take this have-a-go hero back pronto, but if not, another retailer should snap him up." Now, Mr. Smith gave an interview on the weekend to The Guardian. He's been told not to approach shoplifters, but felt compelled to act after seeing thefts at the shop every hour of every day for the last 5 years. I'll tell you what Waitrose say in just a moment. But someone else who's had problems with shop theft is Martin Gaunt. Now, he's owner of the Happy Piranha gift shop in Truro. He's made over 50 citizens' arrests to protect his business from thieves and joins me now. Thank you very much for coming on. Mr. Gaunt, these 50 citizens' arrests, over how long a time period? Good morning.
Good morning. I suppose we realised 4 or 5 years ago just how much shoplifting had increased, and we decided we had to do something about it. So within a fairly condensed period, we started reporting every incident to the police, we installed more CCTV cameras, and we made the decision to actually physically get involved and stop people. Now, the important part, or the most interesting part for me, is here I am 4 or 5 years later, and shoplifting from my store has dropped to almost zero. The largest proportion of the theft was from the same people that had the idea that if they came into my store, nothing was going to happen. When they saw that something was going to happen, it solved the problem. It stopped it. I'm not saying it's solved the issue for everybody, because all they do now is they go on to another store somewhere like Waitrose, where they give instructions to their so-called security staff to not intervene and not to do anything.
Did it ever get a bit bouncy, a bit aggressive?
Yes.
Go on, sorry, Martin.
Yes, it did. And, you know, the problem is, whenever I have this conversation, the first thing that comes up is, weren't you worried about getting stabbed? And there's this thing that's called the zero-risk bias, and it's a cognitive bias where people prefer to completely eliminate a small problem rather than look at the bigger problem. So I could have eliminated all risk to me, supposedly, by not doing anything. Mm. But what we need to realise is, by not doing anything, you allow a much bigger problem to grow, and it's sort of out of the frying pan into the fire. If you don't do something about it, honestly, what it goes on to fund, and what I've seen shoplifting go on to fund, and the misery I've seen it to cause people, and I'm not talking about the loss to my business. That's one thing, and that's not the biggest issue. What I'm talking about is the breakdown in the whole social fabric, where we've become a society that just wants to... We're completely risk-averse, you know, and I can't help but think every time we drive a car, we take a risk. Mm. And I'm not suggesting that we have-a-go heroes. I'm not suggesting that an average employee should be expected or asked to do anything to intervene. But in the case that we're looking at the moment, you've got somebody that's been taken on specifically to deal with security. If they've been given the training to deal with that security, so for example, if you were to look at a nightclub and you look at what was traditionally called a doorman, they would have SIC training and they'd be trained to be able to deal with this sort of thing. So I see absolutely no reason why we can't have trained people doing their job in places like Waitrose. But unfortunately, Waitrose possibly prefer just to let the theft go on.
Let me ask you, what does Happy Piranha stock? What sort of things do you have?
Well, we're sort of a toy gift shop, and we sell a number of collectibles. And one of the things that's been very easy to turn into cash recently is collectibles, whether it's Lego or whether it's Pokemon, etc. And, you know, we've actually had situations where we've had people come into our store, they've taken stock, we've followed them, they've taken it to the local market, they've sold it to somebody on the local market store, turned it into cash. We've then followed them to the multi-story car park where they've gone and bought their drugs, and then they've, you know, disappeared off down to the park to take their drugs. So it's not just about me losing something. That really is, honestly, the smallest part of the issue. What I want is I want a safe environment. I want a safe town where people can come and be part of a community, and we're not held ransom by people that will do the worst.
How supportive were the local police force to what you and your colleagues were doing at Happy Piranha?
It was strange, this is. So first off, when we first started to talk about it, I said, make sure you report everything, because we need the reports to be able to get the funding. So as we started to report everything, they said, what's the matter with you? Why are you having so much stolen from you? As if it was our problem. And then they sent down somebody. I've been in retail through generations. Mm. And they sent down somebody to have a look. And they said, look, we're sending someone down. You're obviously doing something wrong. Your goods are too attractive. You know, your shop's too attractive. You want to stop trying to make your goods look like they're worth stealing. So they send somebody down because you have to go along with them, and they came down and said, no, you're doing everything right, you could maybe move your counter a little bit closer to the door, etc. You know, and that was it. Now, when we started to stop people, we were getting no support from the police at all. And the police would say to me, you know, well, we're not your private security firm. So I know you're not. I'm doing security. I'm expecting you to enforce the law. I've stopped this person doing something, and I'd like you to deal with it, please. And I've had them refuse to search people because they were worried that they might upset somebody. I've had them tell me that I was more likely to get arrested. They told me that I didn't have the right to do it. Eventually, I had a meeting with my local inspector. The inspector turns up at the meeting with his staff and says, well, I've Googled it and I don't think you've got the right to do it. And I said, no, I think you're wrong.
No. So, seriously, the copper said I've Googled it.
I've Googled it, yeah. So I wrote to Chris Philp at the time.
Policing minister.
And so he comes back to me with a letter saying, yes, you do. These are the laws. These are the... I went back to the inspector and said, there you go. This says I can. And he says, well, yeah, well, maybe it does. Attitude did change a little bit. You know, it's not all disaster. Over a period of 6 or 7 years, I have noticed some positive changes. But there are some very, very big issues that we're completely overlooking and we're completely missing. You know, and I keep hearing this thing every time, and I'll get asked to talk about something. And in the background, I'll be saying, look, we should do something. And then somebody brings somebody on the radio that says, well, I was threatened with a knife. And then my argument goes completely out the window. Now, I'm suggesting that we need to stop looking at the complete polars, and we need to talk about what we, you know, possibly can do constructively. Now, I would not expect an employee of mine to put themselves at any risk, unless I employed somebody that was trained to do it, and that's why I employed them to do it. I hear such an awful lot of rubbish talked around the subject, and there's very little serious constructive discussion.
The piece in the paper said that you've met Yvette Cooper over this. How would you characterise her response to the issue, Martin?
Okay, it's difficult.
So she was Home Secretary at the time. Sorry, I need to remind everyone.
It was just before she was Home Secretary. And there was this one piece of supposed law, which, you know, I'd argue never really existed in its extent anyway. It said, nothing's going to happen if you steal less than £200. It wasn't as simple as that, to be honest. And she said, look, we realise that's ridiculous and we're going to try and remove that. But what you get from government, and this will be all of them that I've spoken to, is that, okay, we'll throw more money at it. It doesn't need more money. What it needs, it needs more thought. It needs more positivity. If my police aren't actually doing anything about it, giving me more people that aren't actually going to do anything about it is not going to solve the issue. We need to get together. We need to listen to the people that are actually dealing with it. And we need to take away some of the myths. You know, when I hear rubbish about, what's it matter, these shops, they get insurance, so there's no loss. Well, that's nonsense. You can't go to an insurer and say, I lose £1 million worth of stock a year. How much would it cost me to insure that, please? Bearing in mind, I'm going to do nothing to stop it. Well, the insurer's not going to turn around and say, well, 50 quid. He's going to say it'd be 1,100,000, thank you.
Let me ask you this. If Walker Smith, we're talking about, if he was to move from Clapham to Truro, would he have a job at Happy Piranha?
Very difficult. Whenever I pin my flag to the colours, someone, because I don't know all of the facts around something, something will throw something at me, and I prefer to take a little bit more of a slower progress. Right. Do I think that our supermarkets and large chains are being honest with us? No. You know, they have to provide us with fire extinguishers to prevent a fire. I think they should have to provide us with security staff to protect us. And I think those security staff should be properly trained, and I think that they should be able to do their job effectively.
Enjoyed our conversation. Get yourself to the Happy Piranha gift shop in Truro. Martin Gaunt is the owner, who, with colleagues, made more than 50 citizens' arrests. I need to tell you what Waitrose say. We refuse to put anyone's life at risk. That's why we have policies in place that are very clearly understood. The reporting on this does not cover the full facts. While we would never be able to discuss an individual case, we can assure you the correct process is being followed. Well, just tell us, what else is going on? Waitrose come out incredibly badly from this. Boycott Waitrose? No one goes to Waitrose? Or is it so much a part of your life that you just wouldn't be able to live without it? Might take your calls on that. Richard in Chelmsford wants to talk about the junior, resident doctor's strike. Richard, level of support or sympathy for them? Good morning.
Hello, Nick. Thanks very much for taking the call. Right, basically, every single junior doctor working currently would have been employed since the latest 2020.
Yes.
They would have known full well what the pay was, and they were obviously happy to take the job, otherwise they wouldn't have took the job. Since then, they've had these massive increases, and now they're still not happy because they're referring back to 2008. What has 2008 got to do with any single doctor working currently today?
I don't get it. But you heard the doctor spell it out, and then when you... And I don't want this to be a race to the bottom, but then when you put it in context of other people doing very important jobs such as putting out fires and policing us, it's chalk and cheese.
Yes, totally. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, they took the job knowing full well what the pay was. Since then, they've had massive increases. They should be absolutely ecstatic.
Agree with you. Richard, thank you. Have a good day. 8:44. Peter in Battersea wants to talk about the Waitrose story. Peter, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi there, Nick. Yeah, I do believe that it should be sacked.
The worker?
Yes. I mean, if rules are rules. I mean, the Conservatives can say that, change the rules. If you're going to say something, stick to what you say. And basically, they told him specifically not to tackle it, and he went and gone and done it. It's the same with the Conservatives. They say they're going to do this and do that and do this, and then when they get into power, they don't
do
it.
Surely you just talk to the guy and maybe you suspend him, I don't know, for a week or something, but you don't take his job. I mean, he's in his 50s, this bloke, isn't he?
Even more. So he's 50 years old to know better. He's not 3 years.
But he probably won't get another job, Peter. Just how. To use a sort of football or rugby expression, just have a word. Don't red card him.
But he could have cost them millions.
How on earth could he have cost them millions?
Well, I'll tell you something. They saved them millions because they don't have to pay redundancy out now, do they?
Well, it wouldn't cost £1 million to make this worker redundant. All right, thank you, Peter. You take it. There's no point criticising. You have a totally different view. Let's see what others make of it. All right, coming up after the news, we go to Sundridge near Bromley. It's in Kent's stockbroker belt. Properties regularly command prices north of £2 million. But over the Easter weekend, a group of travellers arrived and effectively resurfaced a field. Conservative MP for East Surrey and Shadow Energy Secretary Claire Coutinho addressed not this particular issue, but other issues like it earlier in the year.
The local council and the police have been working on this. They've been throwing everything they can at trying to stop these developments, but it's not enough. There are so many different illegal things happening in one space.
When the travellers come calling, we'll look at that. After this, 8:46 LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has told Nick that he thinks wireless festival bosses are putting money before morals over the booking of Kanye West. A six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway, their 15th walkout in their long-running dispute over pay and jobs. And Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees.
There are long delays on the M25 anti-clockwise between junctions 30 at the A13 and 29 at the A127. And that's because of an accident. There's a 40 miles per hour speed restriction in place as well. And then on the Surrey stretch of the M25, it's slow clockwise at junction 8 at Reigate. And that was after that lorry broke down earlier. In West London, the A40 remains closed both ways. This is between the Marylebone flyover and the Northern roundabout for the ongoing bridge works. So traffic's using the M4 instead, but that's extra busy eastbound from the M25 to junction 4 at Heathrow. And that's following an accident. On the trains of Anti-West Coast and London North Western services remain suspended to and from Milton Keynes from Euston because of the ongoing engineering works.
This is LBC.
3, 2, 1, 0% APR and all-electric Mini Cooper. What was that, Luton? Handling is extraordinary. Centre of gravity so low. And it could be ours with a 15% deposit and 3-year term. OK, Luton, reroute me to the nearest Mini retailer now.
Land the new all-electric Mini Cooper with 0% APR. Report to your Mini retailer today. Mini UK is a credit broker. Ordered and delivered by 30th of June. PCP finance with Mini Financial Services. Subject to status. 18 plus T's and C's apply. Mini.co.uk/Cooper.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345-6060-973. LBC.
Jay here knows that Zoopla can provide valuations for any home in the UK. So we can see what that new couple across the road might have paid.
Ooh la la.
Have a nose at what the curtain twitchers next door could sell for. And even see what his own place is worth.
Cool, look at that.
Plus, Zoopla lets you find and compare local estate agents if you do decide to sell up. Think of all those new neighbours you'll be able to snoop on, Jay. If you want to know, just ask Zoopla.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, you'll get a £250 gift card when you take out Saga Health Insurance. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. Start a new policy before the 28th of May. New customers over 50 only. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's a bright idea. Let Wix see how much you could save on your electricity bills. With Wix Solar, our team handles everything under the sun, from design to the perfect installation of your solar panels. We're proud as a peacock to be rated excellent on Trustpilot, so you can feel confident your solar installation is in safe hands. Book your free solar appointment today at wix.co.uk. Wix Solar, a name you can trust with service you can rely on.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before nine is the time coming up after nine. Time to Kanye West with that rather troublesome idea of performing at that festival, and also with the Middle East in flames. That deadline looms 1 a.m. tomorrow for us. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll come back to that. But let's come to domestic matters. And as I told you just before the news, there are problems with travellers. Not unknown, of course, in various parts of the country. On this weekend, it was Kent. And if you've listened to me for some time, you'll know that I am a man of Kent. And residents in the area of Sundridge, which is part of Kent's stockbroker belt, close to Bromley, really, properties normally at around £2 million, if not more, woke up to the fact that travellers had moved in. They ripped up hedges. A static caravan became wedged in a lane. Locals were furious. Travellers arrived and effectively, it would appear, put down hardcore and resurfaced a field. And now, presumably, they want to set up camp there. Well, today the Conservatives, obviously they were not in knowledge that this was going to happen, but today the Conservatives are promising a major crackdown on matters such as these, and I'm joined by Conservative MP and Shadow Minister for Policing, Crime and Illegal Immigration and Deputy Chair of the party, Matt Vickers. Good to have you on. Thanks very much for your time. You wouldn't have known about this Kent issue, as it were, but a response on that and what your proposed legislation would allow for. Good morning to you,
yeah.
Mr Vickers.
Good morning. So, yeah, we didn't know about that at the time, but we know it's an issue that's occurring across the country in various places. If you haven't been affected by this, you're very lucky, actually, because we see the impact on communities. It can be public spaces, it can be the village green, it can be someone's private property. These guys turn up, a small minority of travellers, they turn up, they cause absolute havoc, real consequences in terms of cleaning up and tidying up, preventing people from enjoying those spaces. We've said, Chemist come forward with a considered plan that means where people do this, where people trespass in such a way, and they're asked to leave and they don't, there should be consequences. We've said there should be a criminal offence, empowering the police to do this, a criminal offence of trespass with a vehicle and refusing to move when directed. We've also said that if you are barred from going on a site, the government backpedal on this. We brought legislation forward before. The government's backpedaled on this and said, if you are barred from a site, that ban should only last for 3 months. Well, these guys leave for 3 months and come back and cause all this trouble again. We're saying that should be permanent. And we're also saying that at the moment there is a rule, we should scrap that rule, a rule that says if there isn't spaces up the road at the authorised site, then you can stay as long as you want. That's unacceptable. People who work hard, who do the right thing, who play by the rules, deserve fair treatment. People who choose to abuse those rules and other people's property should be subject to real consequences.
But you say people who abuse the rules, and let's just, and I'm sure you will echo this, Mr. Vickers, there are many travellers who do abide by the rules, yep. And they are a community. So these are the choose to live outside the law, as it were. Why would they respect any new legislation?
Because there's going to be consequences. This is going to be a criminal offence. We are going to ban these people. We are going to take the action required. At the moment, when this happens, people are concerned that the police do nothing. The reason the police do nothing is not because they don't want to, but it's because this government has watered down the legislation that was put in place and made it really easy for travellers to abuse that situation. The law has to be fair. The law has to be upheld. We need to give the police the resources and the powers they need to tackle
it. And you think these people, again, those who seek to live outside the law, not respectable travellers whose lifestyle we absolutely get, you think they would listen to this, Mr. Vickers?
If we enforce it, if we have the police with the resources they need, we've got a plan there to put more police on the streets, but more importantly, give the police the powers to do this. At the moment, powers that were put in place have been tied up by the ECHR and by the Human Rights Act. We can't go on like this. We're making laws so that people can live legally and sensibly and have respect for other people's property.
Last minute or so together, you featured in one of the newspapers over the weekend with a suggestion that you were charging people £5 to come and talk to their local MP, a story in the Sunday Mirror. This is a coffee morning that you arranged. Would you like a chance to respond to that, Mr. Vickers?
Nick.
Mr. Vickers.
Even you wouldn't call the Mirror a newspaper.
I started it's on the Mirror. I'm the editor of the Mirror.
Horrendous lefty rag. You know better
how
than to listen
you?
To anything
you
would
my
read.
My dad was news editor. I was
paper. But the reality is that this is a contorted, contrived, twisted story by local Labour politicians. I'll tell you what I'll be doing for the next week. They've tried to suggest that people have to pay to see me.
Yes.
They're talking about an event in a village hall where people are paying a fiver. The reality is that this week, I'm going back to my constituency after this. I'll
but
be
why did
on
they
doors.
Have to pay £5 to see you in Kirk Livington?
In Kirk Leventon, it is a coffee morning in a village hall. But anybody who doesn't want to pay, who doesn't want to go to that social event, that fundraiser, go to that village hall, they can see me at my surgery on Thursday. It doesn't cost anything. They can see me at the community litter pick on Saturday morning. They can come to my pop-up stall on Saturday afternoon. Or they might see me on church on Sunday. I went to two last Sunday, spoke to huge numbers of people. And if they're unfortunate enough to be in the area where I'm knocking this week, because that's what I do on a recess, I may well knock on the door on Wednesday, Thursday or Friday.
What happens if you come across a Daily Mirror reader? Who says I like Andy Capp, Mr. Vickers?
I'm going to try and speak some sense into them, Nick. Get them read listening to good broadcasters and reading proper newspapers that give balanced, realistic news, not listening to some lefty rag produced by my local Labour politicians with some twisted, horrible story.
Well, I say again, this is a paper that I served with a distinction for some time. Lastly, I don't know if Stockton West boasts a Waitrose, but there's a heck of a row going on over a worker of 17 years standing who was dismissed. His crime, quotes his crime, was to try and stop shop theft. Your view on that, if you
would. I don't know if you've been to Stockton, Nick.
I've not, but I need to put this right, clearly. Well, but I will exactly. be bringing my Daily Mirror with me, but go on.
Well, we've got quite a lot of Aldi's. We've got quite a lot of Lidl's. We don't have a Waitrose.
Right.
I don't think there's one for miles, actually. We're much more cost-effective. We spend money properly. We've got a lot more sense. But the reality is that Waitrose, this is an appalling story. This is a guy who worked for Waitrose for 17 years, who sat there, who saw his town centre being subject to crime, who saw his business, well, the business that employs him, people stealing from it. That has real costs and consequences for people. People getting abused, people getting assaulted, all sorts of things spin from this awful crime that people think is acceptable on our high streets. He decided to do something about it. He should be celebrated. He should be thanked. Waitrose should think about giving him a bonus. Instead, they sacked him. This is entirely unacceptable. I hope that listeners out there will join me. They should email the CEO of Waitrose. They should share whatever's going on Twitter. We should make some noise and we should get this man who did the right thing. We should get him his job back.
Matt Vickers, thank you for your time outlining how Conservative legislation, were they to come back to power, would try and clamp down on events such as been witnessed in Kent on the weekend and other parts, I have to say, of the country on a regular basis. Matt Vickers, Shadow Minister for Police and Crime and Illegal Immigration, thank you. Let's stay with that on this. Anthony on a text says, over 20 years in security, the police are totally useless. I've had inspectors stating rubbish just to justify. They ignore security guards' 999 calls. Richard says, I'm referring to the Waitrose story. I used to work as a hotel receptionist. We had very strict instructions. If we were ever held up for cash, we would have handed over immediately. Security would then deal with escorting the thief out. The reason was insurance related. Well, he wasn't held up for all he tried to do was stop a bloke stealing Easter eggs or lint bunnies. Joe's in Somerset. Joe, your reaction to this? Good morning.
Good morning. First time caller, Nick, so do please
good
bear with me.
Good to have you on, sir. Thank you for calling me.
No problem. Over the weekend, obviously, there were a lot of stories about this. And I'd mulled over this situation for quite a while, but the story this morning has really sort of hammered it home to me that, you know, Waitrose, Tesco, Sainsbury's, whoever, they really don't seem to care about how much this is costing them in terms of, they're losing the stock and so on. And they would rather get rid of the employee from fear of litigation, I assume. So why have we not considered punishing the supermarkets? You know, I haven't heard Sainsbury's or Tesco's CEO come on and actually complain about this situation. It's employees, security guards, and members of the public who are finding this a difficult situation.
Yep,
so, it seems to me that they are not meeting their duties in terms of a duty of care to their employees and actually looking after them.
Lastly, do you think it's just it's just easier, unbelievably, I'm going to say this, it's just easier to build it into your costs that you are going to lose a certain amount of stock each day, each week, each month, and you just have to live with it?
Well, I assume that's what they're doing. You know, anyone that's run a small business, they know, you know, you look after your stock, you know what you're losing, or you have a relatively good idea of it. So I assume they're just wrapping it up in insurance. But what isn't being discussed is the effect this is having on the employees and the general public, or it's certainly being had by your callers, but it's not being had at that higher level. And I just wonder how you break through to those higher-ups and say, this is your responsibility.
Joe, first time, first class. Really enjoyed our conversation. Let's talk again. I'm going to go a minute late to you. Thanks again, Joe. John in Maidenhead. John, you tried to tackle someone in a Waitrose. You don't work for them, do you? Good morning.
No, I do not, Nick, and I spoke to you before. I'm actually a small-time employer in luxury goods, but
right.
I was in Maidenhead Waitrose about in July, I think it was, last year. I was at the checkout getting my shopping, and then I heard a load of commotion, two guys running out, and all of a sudden I decided to chase after these guys because I realised what was going on. We tackled them outside. The staff didn't get involved. I pinned him down with someone else. Luckily, there was someone else in the shop who actually helped. Didn't work there. And took 45 minutes for the police to come out.
45 minutes? Good Lord.
45 minutes. And there's a record of it on file. And when they did come back, I actually thought to myself, what have I done here? Because I actually agree with Waitrose. They had to sack him. It's very sad. And the reason being, they had to make an example of him. Because if he did get hurt, there would be a huge issue. And if anyone else does it within any retail, this has to happen because they're looking after the employee. I'm
sorry. Surely you just suspend him for a week. You don't. He's 54. It's damn hard to get.
No, because if someone else does it, they're going to have to suspend them. They've got to make the example of they're protecting their staff of not getting hurt.
I will let you carry on, John. Thank you for that. Never mind suspending. Coming up after the news, what about we just ban Kanye West? He's due to be here later in the year. The former, he claims he's reformed, anti-Semite. West Streeting Health Secretary told me
he shouldn't be headlining the festival. It seems to me that the organisers are putting money before morals, and I think that's a real shame.
Staying with health matters, how maternity deaths are at a 20-year high as the NHS has ignored warnings. And that deadline, as I've said before, is ticking to 1 a.m. tomorrow. What level of support should there be from the United Kingdom? Is it right that we will refuse Donald Trump access to British bases? Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
on your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Health Secretary Wes Streeting has accused wireless festival organisers of putting money before morals with the booking of Kanye West. The rapper's apologised for previous anti-Semitic remarks and says he wants to come to London to show he's changed. The wireless boss Melvin Benn says people should forgive the performer but has admitted the comments were abhorrent. But speaking to Nick this morning, Wes Streeting said he's not convinced.
I thought it was a terrible statement from the wireless festival overnight, which attempted to give Kanye West the fig leaf of credibility he doesn't deserve. He didn't make one or two off-colour remarks during a bipolar episode. He wrote, recorded and released a song called Heil Hitler, plastered it across T-shirts, has given a mealy-mouthed and self-serving apology, and as far as I can see, has done little to earn the forgiveness of Jewish people.
Wes Streeting also told LBC this morning that he hasn't seen a lot of compromise from the doctors' union in their row over pay and jobs. A six-day strike by resident doctors in England is now underway. The BMA argues its members are still being paid less than they were in 2008, despite receiving pay rises worth 33% over 4 years. Deputy Chair of the BMA Resident Doctors Committee, Callum Parr, has defended the stance while speaking to Nick earlier.
Ultimately, when, you know, the Health Secretary said that we are standout winners, when you look over that period of time, resident doctors and consultants are the standout losers. Our pay has been eroded more than any other workforce.
I don't wish to be a chase to the bottom, but talk to firefighters, talk to police officers, talk to military personnel, talk to people who sweep the street. Doctor, you and your colleagues, quite rightly I say again because you save lives, you've done incredibly well by comparison.
Absolutely, but that's restoring part of our pay back to what it was in 2008.
Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. The US president has given Tehran until tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. The Conservatives have renewed calls for Waitrose to reinstate a worker who was sacked for stopping a shoplifter trying to take Easter eggs. The party says the case reflects a wider issue of offenders having little fear of consequences. Waitrose says the reporting of the case does not cover the full facts of the situation. And the Artemis 2 mission is arching back towards Earth after completing its flyby of the far side of the moon. The astronauts on board the Orion capsule have set a new record for the furthest distance humans have travelled from Earth. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 25 at 10,410. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
How about Specsave ears?
Not sure.
Do you get it? Specsave ears?
Yeah, but no.
Oh, okay. Specs, and we also do hearing two savers.
Think about it. Should have gone to Specs and we also do hearing two savers. Can't see it catching on.
Okay, so we're saying Specsavers do eyes and ears. Senses savers.
Technically true.
Yeah.
But actually terrible.
Oh.
At Specsavers, we're hearing experts too, and have been for over 20 years.
Oh, should we just stick to Specsavers then?
Yeah.
Book a free hearing check today.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 5 minutes after nine, Tuesday, April the 7th. Can there be any argument about banning Kanye West from that festival? We've already spoken to the Health Secretary, we've spoken to others. We'll give you sort of obviously your opportunity to have your say on that. In other matters, in global affairs, President Trump addressing reporters in the White House last night, setting out a timeline to bomb Iran back to the Stone Age.
We're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and after that, they're going to have no bridges, they're going to have no power plants.
And as we've told you on a number of occasions, that equals 1 a.m. tomorrow, our time, and we'll come back to that. What should the UK response be? As it is reported, we, the UK, are telling them, the US, you cannot use British bases for air strikes, only for defensive action. Brackets, God knows how we work out exactly what they're doing, close brackets. And in other news, a disgrace on the National Health Service. Maternity deaths at a 20-year high. Daniel Ram's daughter, Aliona, died half an hour after she was born. This was in 2020.
Aliona's heart rate began to deteriorate. It was categorised as suspicious on a number of occasions and then later pathological. No one escalated it. And when it was finally escalated, the midwife in charge decided to wait and see.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
What do you got planned for this summer? Fancy going to one of those music festivals? Fancy listening to a supposedly former anti-Semite who actually wrote, composed and wrote a song about Hitler and sold swastikas on his T-shirts? If you call that a good day out, you want to go to the Wireless Festival. That's where you'll find yourself, because Kanye West will be there. There's growing calls now for the minister to ban him from the country after the extraordinary decision taken by the organisers of the Wireless Festival to allow him to come into the country. I'll give you the full background in just a moment, and the puerile excuse being offered by the organisers. But let's go to Finsbury Park. This is where the Wireless Festival is held and would be held. And LBC's reporter Joseph Draper joins me from there now. Joseph, morning, what you got?
Well, morning, Nick. It's a beautiful day here, but there is a cloud of controversy hanging over Finsbury Park because of that planned three-day performance by the rapper Kanye West in July last year. The 48-year-old musician released a song called Heil Hitler after advertising a swastika T-shirt for sale on his website. And because of that, sponsors are withdrawing their support from the festival now, including Pepsi, and Jewish communities and charities are putting pressure on the organisers to cancel that performance. The Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, the Board of Deputies included. They also want the government to block his visa so that he can't actually enter the country. MPs, including Labour ones, have called for that too. And it's understood ministers are reviewing his permission to come into the country. The Prime Minister's already described this planned performance as deeply concerning. And here's Health Secretary Wes Streeting talking to you earlier in the show.
I thought it was a terrible statement from the Wireless Festival overnight, which attempted to give Kanye West the fig leaf of credibility he doesn't deserve. He didn't make one or two off-colour remarks during a bipolar episode. He wrote, recorded and released a song called Heil Hitler, plastered it across T-shirts, has given a mealy-mouthed and self-serving apology, and as far as I can see, has done little to earn the forgiveness of Jewish people. It's not for me to forgive, I'm not Jewish, and I think forgiveness has to be earned. You have to repent and redeem yourself through action, not just words. We're far from that. He shouldn't be headlining the festival. And it seems to me that the organisers are putting money before morals, and I think that's a real shame.
But critics want to see more than just tough talk from the government, Nick. Stephen Silverman is Director of Investigations at the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. Here he is talking to you earlier.
Keir Starmer's statement on the matter was all well and good, and, you know, it's great that he made it, but he has the power to do something about it and not just sit back and hope that the response of the sponsors will be what it is turning out to be. Keir Starmer has it within his power to ban from the country any citizen who would not be conducive to the public good, and this is a very clear case for doing that, precisely that. The fact remains that Kanye West is a serial abuser of the Jewish community, and he should not be reinstated before his remorse has been shown to be genuine and long-lasting.
Now, Kanye West has actually apologised for his comments, taking out a full-page advert, Nick, in an American newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, to say he loves Jewish people, claiming his bipolar disorder had caused a four-month-long manic episode, which he said had destroyed his life. And this morning he added to that, saying he wants to present a show of change, unity, peace and love, and actually offered to meet with the Jewish community here in London. The organisers of the festival are also standing by their decision to book them, to book him. The director, Melvin Ben, described West's comments as abhorrent, but encouraged forgiveness. Now, I've been speaking to some of the people living here, Nick, and they're not all convinced.
I think it's a complete disgrace and he shouldn't be performing here. He's made anti-Semitic comments. I hope it doesn't go ahead because I'd be extremely disappointed in Haring Gay and the organisers of Wireless.
What do you think it says about the organisers that they've booked him?
I just think it seems like they don't care about the Jewish community and, they have no morals.
I can't believe they've got him performing here, to be honest, but yeah, we had a wee chat about it last night. There were some people that were going, oh, but yeah, his music's really great, but nah, he's not a very pleasant person, is he? I can't believe we would. And it's such an insult because this is obviously, you know, quite a heavily Jewish area around this part of London, so yeah, That's pretty nasty, isn't it?
No, he shouldn't be banned.
You don't think he should be banned because of his comments?
No.
Why not?
Because he's not well.
You think it's because of his mental illness that you made those comments?
His mental illness that people can make those comments and all that. And, you know.
People in Finsbury Park talking to LBC's Joseph Draper to conclude his report. Coming to you, John, in just a moment. As Joseph referenced, overnight, Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, has put out a statement. I won't read it all, but he says, my only goal is to come to London and present a show of change, bringing unity, peace and love through my music. I would be grateful for the opportunity. And this is what I want to ask you, by the way. I'm not Jewish. Mr. Streeting wasn't Jewish, but if you are Jewish... Here we go. I would be grateful for the opportunity to meet with members of the Jewish community in the UK in person to listen. I know words aren't enough. I'll have to show change through my actions. If you're open, I'm here with love. Yay. So if you are Jewish, would you want to meet with Yay, Kanye West? And what would you say to him? The key point here is, I would suggest, this is supposedly a four-month episode of bipolar. I'm not minimising the effect of bipolar or any form of depression. But during that time... He wrote the song Heil Hitler, and he put T-shirts on sale. As I said to an earlier caller, if I suddenly started using the language employed a couple of days ago by the President of the United States, quite rightly, LBC would take me off air and suspend me. If I managed to say that I was going through some kind of stressful moment or whatever, they'd probably give me a chance again. I imagine, I don't know. If I did it two Mondays after that, then again when they gave me one last shot, this is a pattern of behaviour. This is not... a one-off incident. And the idea with the Melvin Benn, who is the Festival Republic's managing director, they're the people who behind the Wireless Festival, said that he's coming here to perform, not to extol any political dogma. Well, as I said earlier, if Vladimir Putin was to play the balalaika, are we going to put him on Saturday night at the London Palladium? No, of course we're not. Coming up on the X Factor, Vladimir Putin, Simon Cowell introduces Vladimir Putin on the balalaika, playing back in the USSR. It's the most puerile rationale you could imagine. Jason's in Maryland. Jason, I do you mind my asking? It says here that you are Jewish, are you?
Yeah, I'm definitely Jewish, Nick.
You're definitely Jewish.
I'm definitely Jewish.
Are you 100% Jewish?
Yeah. If you come back to the crapery, I can prove it to you.
Oh, mate, I know who you are. Hello, sport. Right, OK. Yes, I do know you. Yes, I do know, because I've met you. Yes.
Yeah, so,
would you want to meet Kanye West? You are Jewish. If you did, what would you say to him, Jason?
I'd love to meet him to tell him how I feel about his views and about how disgusted and upset I am in him, because I actually do quite like his music. My son loves his music.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have an issue with him performing here? Truthfully, I don't, for the very reason that I know that he's an anti-Semite. So I don't have to go to Wireless and I don't have to pay to buy any of his albums. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather know where you stand. If you're anti-Semitic, then just say it and be it. But I then also know that Wireless, the organisation and the government, if they allow him to come in, I know where they stand on anti-Semitism.
Lastly, Stephen Silverman from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism says, we're hearing all the right words from the Prime Minister and the government, we're not seeing any action. I have to say, that's not unknown to this current administration. Do you think Sir Keir will go further this time?
No, I don't think he will, because I don't think he's got the guts on the bottom to do it.
Jason, thank you. We'll take more calls on that. Have yourself a good day at the Crepery. Coming up after the news, we will come back to the Donald Trump story, but coming up after the news, a scandal, a disgrace, the National Health Service, maternity deaths at a 20-year high. Sarah Hawkins lost her daughter during labour back in 2016. She spoke after meeting with Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary, last year.
Wes listened to us and we felt heard. It's very obvious he wants rapid change, and I think what we really focused on was the legacy, and we need accountability.
9:16 LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has told Nick that he thinks Wireless Festival bosses are putting money before morals over the booking of Kanye West. A six-day strike by tens of thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway, their 15th walkout in their long-running dispute over pay and jobs. And Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M4 eastbound from the M25 to Junction 4 at Heathrow. It's following an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. In Teddington, Hampton Road remains closed westbound at Church Road, and that's following an accident. Very slow on the Chiswick High Road in both directions to Kew Bridge Station, and that's because of the emergency repair works. Problems now in Shoreditch. A car's broken down on Great Eastern Street. It's northbound just before Rivington Street. Only one lane is open and there are queues on the approach. Now, Avanti West Coast and London Northwestern services from Euston to Milton Keynes, and on the Underground, the Piccadilly line is suspended between Rainers Lane and Uxbridge.
This is LBC.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers, dog lovers, bait clubbers, banker dancers, baby ravers, potters. Whether you walk it, jog it, or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up now and save 50% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends April 19th, 2026. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Ready for a new kitchen? Wix Kitchen Experts can support you with clever designs and a professional installation. Book your free kitchen design appointment at Wix.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Morrison to Lidl and saving £41 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/you save. Which means a stocked up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh five a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 26th of the 3rd, 26. Morrison also sell other products. See online for more details.
With up to £3,000 every year towards career growth at Amazon, I started in the warehouse knowing I could train in things like coding or robotics. It turns my job into a career. So it means I can be who I want to be, even if I haven't quite decided who that is yet.
Amazon, opening doors with up to £3,000 every year towards career growth. Eligibility conditions about type and duration of employment apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
He wants to build bridges, particularly with the Jewish community, but there is growing pressure not to even allow him into the country. I speak of Kanye West. John in Enfield. What should happen, John? Good morning.
Hello, Nick. Have you had a nice weekend?
I did, thank you. Yes, I took some time off. Some very enjoyable.
Good, good. Was it Andy Streeting that said that Starmer's putting money before
morals?
Andy,
do you mean Andy Street or Wes Streeting?
Wes Streeting, the guy that just said money before morals.
Right, the health secretary.
Yeah, so, well, I'd argue that Starmer has got no morals. What I'd like to say is, you know the IRGC and the Iranian regime?
Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Yeah,
yep.
Dedicated to destroying the State of Israel, which is anti-Semitic, yeah? So why has he not banned the IRGC?
Now, the reason is that he hides behind some legalese, some complex legal issue that means it can't be done. But extraordinarily, they've managed it in Australia, Canada, which are in the Commonwealth, the United States and other countries, other European countries. So I think that's just a facetious part of nonsense.
Yeah, so he's allowing anti-Semitism into this country on an industrial level, and then he's complaining about Kanye West. It's not consistent, and it's just showing me to be a very hypocritical, treacherous liar.
It's a very good point you make. Something in hindsight I wish I'd put to Wes Streeting when I was speaking with him earlier, because, yes, it's difficult to argue with that logic. John, thank you. Thanks for hanging on the line. Have yourself a good day. We'll come back to this story, but if we're talking health matters, let's tell you about a shocking story. Maternity deaths have hit a 20-year high. Despite the NHS receiving dozens of recommendations for improving care for pregnant women and new mothers, this analysis has been published. It shows deaths during pregnancy, childbirth, or in the 6 weeks afterwards have risen to more than 12 women per 100,000. And that's the highest level for over 20 years. Now, over the past 10 years, the NHS has been issued with 67 separate warnings urging staff to take significant complications more seriously. But in that same period, deaths have risen by almost 50%. Now, Theo Clark is a former politician. She was a Conservative MP, chaired the Birth Trauma Inquiry in 2024. I appreciate you could probably take me from now till 10 this morning or 10 o'clock at night about what exactly you and your colleagues achieved, but briefly, the findings of the Birth Trauma Inquiry, if you would. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, firstly, today's news is shocking, but sadly not surprising. And unfortunately, it chimes with many of the findings that I found in 2024 when I chaired a cross-party parliamentary inquiry into birth trauma. And what we heard firstly was that there was a postcode lottery across the UK, so that depending on where you give birth in this country, you will actually receive a different standard of care, and that maternity care is not standardised across the country. And secondly, we found that there were hundreds of recommendations which had not been made in the last decade to improve treatment, which aligns very much with the report that has come out this week. And that's really why I've been calling, as the headline recommendation from our report from 2 years ago and still today, asking for a maternity commissioner, because I find it shocking, Nick, that there are 748 recommendations from previous inquiries into maternity, including my own, which have not actually been implemented by the current government or previous governments. And I think really that enough's enough. We really can't wait for any more mothers to be harmed or babies to die. We need to have these recommendations to be implemented to improve treatment for mums in this country.
Something of this gravity, of this magnitude, why do you suppose more action hasn't been or isn't being taken, Theo?
Well, firstly, I think it's about government prioritisation. I don't think that women's health has been traditionally prioritised in government policy.
Well, and I think I'm now my... It includes Conservative governments, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I made the case under all Prime Ministers.
Yep.
But okay. I think in my campaign, Nick, I think I'm already on my 8th Health Secretary since I've been talking about having a maternity commissioner and a national maternity strategy. And I think that's part of the problem, that we don't actually have a dedicated person in government whose job it is every day to fight for mums and for better care. And I think the point about a maternity commissioner would be they would be independent. They're not a government minister who might change in a future reshuffle. And my concern with the current investigation with Baroness Amos is that there's actually no teeth to this investigation. In effect, it is just another synthesis of previous reports. And in fact, we already know, as today says, what the outline failures are in maternity care. What we really need now is to have the delivery and the focus on the outcomes in hospitals to improve care. And that's simply not happening.
The Amos review is the one I imagine that concludes this summer. What should a review actually go? Where should it go? What should it do, in your view?
Well, firstly, I think it's very important to include families, and I do welcome that she has spent the time to listen to those of us like myself who were affected by a difficult birth. But I personally didn't feel the government needed to have another investigation. I felt it was kicking the can down the road. The government's been in power now since last year. They could have very easily brought in a number of the recommendations in our report. I remember standing up at Prime Minister's Questions under the previous government and having our headline recommendation of a national maternity strategy being agreed to by the then Prime Minister. And I don't understand why the new government did not just automatically agree to that cross-party recommendation and bring that in. And we are talking about women who, in this report, have talked about dying with sepsis, having intense blood loss, and really shocking stories of women not being listened to, and ultimately, in the worst cases, dying in childbirth, or as you said, in that period, in the first sort of 6 weeks afterwards.
I sense we'll talk again. Perhaps let's make sure we do talk again when the review comes out in summer, and love to get your take on that, Theo, as you obviously, as I mentioned, chaired the one back in 2024. Theo Clark, former Conservative MP, chaired that cross-parliamentary inquiry. Might take calls on that. Thanks again, Theo. Might take calls on that, but it is Kanye West that's dominating the conversation, and if it's okay, I'm going to go to someone who says, Ash is in Hendon. Ash, you say you're Jewish, and I'm specifically targeting folks such as you because he, West, wants to meet, the opportunity to meet with members of the Jewish community in person to listen. What would you say to him? Ash, morning.
Good morning, good morning. What I would say to that, there's a couple of very important points. I do think a man that genuinely says he wants to apologise and make amends, given that chance. However, it's not a question of just him being given the opportunity to say sorry. I think there's a couple of points. One of the points would be that he would have to sign a contract should he ever come to this kind of behaviour again. He'll be banned not only from the UK, from lots of places, and maybe even from performing.
So you're prepared to cut him one more chance? Is that what you're saying?
Conditions. If he signs this contract And he goes on stage and says to all the people, look, what I done was very wrong. Don't justify this kind of behavior. We love our Jewish brothers and sisters just like they love us. We have to be united. And I'm grateful for them for, you know, giving me the opportunity. Because if you don't give a person a chance to repent, what is it all about? You have to be able to give, but it doesn't come easy. He will have to sign the contract. He will have to apologize on stage in front of people. He will have to come and meet the Jewish community. And then if he ever...
You don't think it's beyond... I mean, it is an example that I've used before. If Vladimir Putin suddenly said, I'm terribly sorry for the thousands of innocent Ukrainians that I've bombed... I know it's not on the same scale as Kanye West.
No,
I understand
not.
That.
And you can't,
but
no, you can't,
but it, I mean, you, there is personal responsibility for actions over a four-month period, Ash. 4 months.
Well, what I'll say to that, Nick, is there's been many people in the past that wanted to kill us, like Haman, which my Jewish brothers and sisters understand, and it's been his offspring that at the end has been, you know, people that have come to Bnei Brak and study and become big rabbis and scholars. If you don't give the opportunity to somebody that genuinely, I'm saying this word, genuinely wants to repent, right, and make actions, not just talk, actions, sign a piece of paper if he ever does it again. He agrees that he'll be banned from the UK and be banned from lots of other things, making songs or whatever. And then if you don't give somebody a chance, what is it all about?
Okay. Ash is ready to meet with him and cut him a chance. Let's see if others agree. Ash, thank you. Richard in Salford. Richard, you're on the radio. Good morning. Would you give him another chance?
I'd like to make a offer to Kanye West. I'm Jewish.
Right.
I'd like him to come with me to Yad Vashem. Mm-hmm. Him and me, which is the Holocaust, it's the National Holocaust Memorial Site in Israel, mm-hmm. and spend a couple of days there. Then we'll go on another plane together, and we'll go to Auschwitz-Birkenau, mm-hmm. and we'll spend some time there. Then I'd like him to come with me to meet some of the few remaining Holocaust survivors. Mm-hmm. And then, having done that experience, then I may be willing, at least from my personal point of view as a Jew, to consider an apology, a sincere and genuine apology.
So I'm fortunate to have done all three of those, including meeting with and having spoken some years ago now to a group of Holocaust survivors. Sadly, I think the number is diminishing almost by the year. What would he learn, Richard?
Well, at the moment, I'm not sure he's learned anything. Words are hollow and meaningless unless they're backed by real action and real understanding. And I must say, just in parenthesis, that there is nothing in the bipolar condition that would explain the sort of language that he's used. That is a very, very poor and unacceptable excuse. What would he learn? You know, I'm ever hopeful in the goodness of mankind and humanity. And not least of all, as a black man, where black people have suffered terrible racism and discrimination up until recent years, and still do, where I would go on the street supporting black people against any form of racism, I want to see a truly reformed man, not in a couple of... my invitation is, let's do what I've just suggested.
Lastly, a word on the organisers that have booked him, and the particular, the director, I think, the managing director of the company, Melvin Ben, who said he's here to perform, not to give political views. Your reaction to that, what seemed to be sense of justification?
No, I'm sorry, I don't accept that. I think that's an unethical comment, and it says a lot about the man, the organiser, than any sense of moral duty.
Thanks for that, Richard. The organiser also points out Ye's music is played on commercial radio stations in this country. Well, you probably won't be surprised to hear that Global has a station called Capital Extra, which would be very much home to Ye or Kanye West music. And not a note has been played for more than 12 months, possibly longer. So that's palpable and risible nonsense as well. Talking people who are speaking nonsense in the eyes of some.
They're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone ages, yeah. Stone ages.
And the hours are ticking down. President Trump talking with journalists yesterday. What should the UK response be? 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, and LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to LBC, the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has accused wireless festival organisers of putting money before morals with the booking of Kanye West. The rapper has apologised for previous anti-Semitic remarks and says that he wants to come to London to show that he's changed. Wes Streeting's also insisted, while speaking to Nick, that ministers have been enormously sympathetic to resident doctors as they walk out for 6 days. Members of the British Medical Association have started the strike action in their row over pay and jobs. And Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plan to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. The US president has given Tehran until tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. LBC weather, a dry, warm and very sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland. Later, a high of 19 degrees.
This is LBC.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, you'll get a £250 gift card when you take out Saga Health Insurance. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. Start a new policy before the 28th of May. New customers over 50 only. Terms and conditions apply.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
The clock is ticking to an attempt to try and bomb Iran back to the Stone Age. This as the United Kingdom says they will not allow Donald Trump access to British bases for aggressive or offensive strikes on Iran's bridges and energy network. In a press conference last night, President Trump elaborated on those plans.
We have a plan because of the power of our military where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen. We may even get involved with helping them rebuild their nation. And you know what? If that's the case, the last thing we want to do is start with power plants, which are among the most expensive thing, and bridges.
Now, in the first round of today's show, I spoke with the former UK Deputy National Security Advisor up until 2018, Paddy McGuinness. I asked Mr. McGuinness whether it's right for the UK to refuse to allow President Trump to use our military bases for aggressive or offensive strikes on Iran.
I find this very difficult, Nick. We sit under an American umbrella every day. British people are safer from terrorism, from crime, and from hostile states because of our American partnership. We have basing agreements with them. We train with them. It seems very, very odd at a time when we are facing down a power that has killed many of our young in Afghanistan with explosive-formed projectiles. Let's remember that when we stood proudly in Royal Wooten Bassett saluting our young men and women who came back from Afghanistan dead, those who come back maimed. They were killed with Iranian weapons. It seems extraordinary to me that we don't have animus towards Iran and do not find a way of supporting our closest ally.
And it elicited considerable response in the first hour, starting with Hayden in Clacton-on-Sea.
I think we need to distance ourselves from America as soon as possible. They can't use any of the bases for offensive or defensive strikes. We have the most powerful man in the world openly threatening genuine terrorism against Iran. We're at a point now where I don't think we can come back from this. Imagine we wake up tomorrow morning and he has actually executed these attacks. If you saw one of your closest friends making a decision that you knew was wrong, you would be wrong for not standing up and saying you cannot do this is wrong. This is the point we're at now.
Tony and Barnett.
We can't turn our back on probably our most important ally. Just that, you know, at this point in time, it has somebody running the show that whose views we perhaps veer very wildly from, but we can't turn our backs on them. And then we've got to view the Iranian leadership as it is. They're murderers. They're murderers, and you know, they've been conducting terrorist activity for many, many years.
Daniel's in Oxford.
Trump is so volatile and so unpredictable that we need to ally ourselves with the Americans, but not follow them into the gates of hell. I don't think we need to validate Trump.
To James in Barnes, what would you like to see the UK? What would you like to see the rest of the world do, James? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I would like, and I think that there is only one thing that I think Mr. Starmer and President Macron and Mark Carney and President Xi and...
let's get to it. Yeah, we got the point. All the world leaders. Yeah, all of them.
I think they need to hold a massive press conference. I don't know how they do it. And they need to call out America. They need to call on Vice President Vance to do something about this and
such as what? Such
as the 25th Amendment, because the man is, if he actually does do this, and I actually don't think that this is a bluff anymore, I'm very concerned that he is so deranged, and he's got the Israelis who, as I think it was on one of your news reports, are already compiling a bombing list of bridges and power stations. So they're like rubbing their hands with glee. And this is insanity, because if this happens, we're all doomed.
Stay on the line. I want to bring someone else in to speak with you, James. Just to explain, the 25th Amendment is a process by which you remove a sitting president, just so everyone's up to speed with that. Rudy is in Bristol. Rudy, James wants a global press conference in which, effectively, the world turns its back on Donald Trump. How would you react to that?
I completely reject that, and I think anyone that thinks that is a complete fool.
Ah.
Because at the end of the day, no one is actually considering the thousands and thousands of people that have been murdered in Iran, and they want Trump to make them free for a start. That's the first thing. The second thing is, they lied about their bombs. They lied. They said they didn't have ballistic missiles. They've got ballistic missiles. So imagine if they've got nuclear weapons. Game is over completely, and there's no turning back.
James, what would you say to Rudy? He thinks you're being foolish.
Yeah, well, the funniest thing is that the CIA and the American secret security services have all said that Iran had never was anywhere close to having a nuclear weapon. That's America's own spy network. And secondly, if he thinks that 90 million Iranians want to have no electricity tomorrow morning and have no bridges, then he's delusional. Of course they do not. And of course that's not a way to create a safe world. What does he think will happen if that happens? 90 million people will have no electricity. I mean, it's insane. The whole thing is madness.
Let's bring Rudy back in. Rudy?
I don't agree with that, because people have been executed for having an opinion, and they will put their freedom first over that. And Donald Trump has given them a choice. So at the end of the day,
do you think they want to be in darkness without? Isn't James right? Do you think they want to be in darkness without water?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. And the fact is, right, at the end of the day, it's the regime that are making that choice. He has given them a choice to either do what they do or he will do it. So it's not Donald Trump doing it, it's the regime doing it. Because they have a choice to actually allow him to have what he suggested.
Do you think they have a choice, James?
I think that, the sad thing is that this gentleman's attitude is, unfortunately, however obnoxious and abhorrent the Iranian regime is, when you hear President Trump lying yesterday saying that the people have phoned him and said, please bomb more, please come back and bomb. I've got lots of Iranian friends who thought that this was a good idea to begin with because they hate the regime. But they do not want to be without bridges, without electricity, without water to be actually put into the Stone Age. They do not want that.
Rudy, don't you find it difficult to actually give a lot of credence to what Donald Trump says? Because the stories do seem to change almost by the day.
Well, that's no different than Keir Starmer. His story changes every minute. You know, no one says anything about that. And what really annoys me, Nick, is there... They're going on about Donald Trump with that. The Iranian people want it. No one is thinking about the Iranian people, and yet every week we have a Palestinian march about Palestine. Right. Yet people have been executed in their thousands every day. And no one seems to care.
But if we bring the British element into it, if you just follow President Trump's reasoning there, we did want the aircraft carriers. We didn't want the aircraft carriers. They tried to send the aircraft carriers. We don't want them because they're clapped out and no good. It's never the same line twice, Rudy.
No, but what has happened is what Keir Starmer has done, two-tier Keir has done, he has made this country look weak and he's made us a target because he hasn't got the backbone to make a proper decision. He's shown to the whole world how vulnerable we are as a country because we got no boats, we got no military, we got no aircraft carriers. You know, what he has done is the complete opposite. He's made us a target.
All right. James, thank you. Rudy, thank you. Let's go to social media. This comes in from Lazarus. Donald Trump is killing innocent Iranians who he promised to protect. He's probably killed more Iranians in the past 4 weeks than the regime has since 1979. Do remember to sign them. You didn't sign that one. This comes in from Joe in Lincoln. An ultimatum isn't a choice. Only a particular type of person would see it as one. This from Colin. We're going to bring peace and stability to the people of Iran by bombing them into the Stone Age. Similar point from Martin. How on earth does bombing Iran back to the Stone Age help the Iranian people? And lastly, this comes in from John. This is all lies. Donald Trump will take it to the absolute... will take it to the brink and get the deal he wants. Well, the only problem is there. It's impossible to... I don't think you can determine what the deal is that he does want. As I said last week, you get the sense he's negotiating with himself at times. Adrian's in Borehamwood. Adrian, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, I think your last caller is a very scary person. What his comments was is insane, that we should be siding with America. Look, I think I'm not a fan of Keir Starmer personally, but I think he's taken a very good stance on what's going on. He hasn't dropped us in it, and he's playing it smart. Two, to America... with what America's doing, it's not personally, I'm not a Trump fan either, but to blame it on Trump when we know who the black people are is just getting...
We know who the what people are, sorry, the
people behind him, IPAC, the real people pushing and pressuring him, even could say Jared Kushner if he really wanted to. But the long story short of it is this, like, what the guy just said before about standing with America and, oh, we want to help the Iran people. I'm sorry, I know Iranians. I've been speaking to a lot of Iranians. The whole of Iran's not against the regime. In fact, 80% of the Iran, before all of this...
I don't believe that figure, Adrian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you don't believe it, then get an Iranian person to speak then. Yeah, but it doesn't matter what you believe.
No.
I speak to Iranians.
I'm not saying they support Trump's actions, but I don't believe 80% of Iranians support a regime that murders its own people, Adrian. I can't...
Yeah, but and that's another point. Well, America's no good. America doesn't... a lot of bad as well. Now, why come no one ever stands up for them to America? It's like America can do what they want and then they can go and enforce their stuff on other countries, because that's what's happening here. They've enforced their stuff on Iran. I'm not condoning Iran's behavior, no way, but that's Iran. Trump doesn't have no... America doesn't have no say over the world. They do not.
All right. Adrian, thank you. I'm happy to bet. I just don't take that 80% figure. I find that extraordinary. We'll have more calls on this, and we will go back to Kanye West as well after the 9:45 LBC News headlines with Dominic Ellis.
Pressure's increasing on wireless festival organisers to drop Kanye West as its headliner, despite the rapper's new apology for anti-Semitic remarks. President Trump has brushed off concerns about committing possible war crimes as he reiterates his threat to strike Iran's power plants. And a 6-day strike by thousands of resident doctors in England is now underway. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland. Later, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. On the Chiswick High Road, there are restrictions at Kew Bridge Station. It's because of the emergency repair works, and that's causing delays both ways, especially northbound, where the delay goes all the way back over Kew Bridge. In Putney on the High Street, there are restrictions both ways at the Lower Richmond Road. That's after an accident, and that's also causing delays. Still very busy on the M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 12 at the M3, and on the trains, Avanti West Coast and London North Western services aren't running to and from Euston from Milton Keynes. It's because
because of the works for the West Coast Main Line. And on the Underground, the Piccadilly line's now back up and running between Rainers Lane and Uxbridge, but unfortunately there are still severe delays on that stretch.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Lewis Goodall.
As President Trump threatens to unleash war crimes on the civilian population of Iran, two simple questions. Has the president gone quite mad? And if so, will anyone ever dare to remove him?
Lewis Goodall at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Switching to Vodafone full fibre broadband is now as easy as pie. Ooh, freshly baked. It's a walk in the park. Hello, little fella. It's like taking candy from a baby. Come on, as if I'd do that. With One Touch Switch, it's easy. We sort everything out for you. We even contact your current provider. Plus, we'll help towards leaving fees. Switch today to full fibre broadband with Vodafone.
Up to £200 credit to cover leaving fees. More information and terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Morrisons to Lidl and saving £41 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/you save. Which means a stocked up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh 5 a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 26 of the 3rd, 26. Morrisons also sell other products. See online for more details.
Looking for a new kitchen that you can't wait to come home to? Wickes has over 80 kitchen styles, from ultra-modern to timeless classics. And options for every budget, with kitchens for first homes and forever homes too. So book your free kitchen design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes.
What's the best present you ever got for your birthday? I bet it wasn't as life-changing as £1 million. Every week with the birthday draw, there's £1 million to be won. And you can enter from as little as £1 or via post. Enter by midnight on Sunday and your special day could win you £1 million. Visit thebirthdaydraw.com. Is it your lucky day? From Global and ITV. 18 plus, UK only, no purchase necessary.
McDonald's cards are here. 24 cards to find and free food in every pack. Choose from a range of cards meals, including the legendary Double Big Mac. Order a cards meal and get a pack today. 18 plus, UK only. With selected meals subject to availability. Ends 27th of April. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
All right, we move away from Donald Trump and that deadline, what, 15-something hours, of course, to go, and come back to something planned for this summer. Is it time to say no to yay, as in no entry to this country, to Kanye West? Colin in Brighouse. Colin, what would you do?
Good morning. Well, hello, first of all, good morning, Nick, and I hope you had a good day.
I did, had a good break, yeah,
Good, good. Right, get back to this guy, Kanye West. First of all, I think if he were sincere about giving an apology, the first thing he'd do is say, all my royalties and revenue from this gig and all the T-shirt sales, whether the, well, not the Nazi ones, but the other ones that he does, will be donated to a Jewish charity.
Buy four ambulances in North London.
Exactly.
There you go. I'll buy four ambulances. Now, that would be an action, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And, I mean, it would be a better apology than... I mean, apologies nowadays run off politicians' tongues. And everybody's to, oh, apologise. It means nothing. It used to mean something when you apologise. But now it doesn't mean a thing. And it's all right trying to blame, oh, I had bipolar, I have got bipolar. No, that is you are in the public eye, and you should think before you open your mouth. And as I say, the first thing you should do, and that radio people that have organised it, they should say, any profit we
Festival
make
Republic,
is going to Jewish charities in England as a form of apology. But at the end of the day, I still won't let him sing. In fact, I won't let him in the country. I'm sorry, but that was creeping slowly and slowly to this anti-Semitism thing. And you've only got to think back to 1934. It's less than 100 years ago since we murdered, we didn't, but the Germans murdered over 6 million Jews. And it's talk is cheap and loose. And I'm sorry, we do have idiots in this country that will hang on every word that he says. Because he's supposed to be a star. It's like a shooting star, be here today, gone tomorrow.
Colin, I have enjoyed our conversation. Have a good day up in Brighouse. Brian and Rayleigh in Essex. Brian, you're on the radio. Your reaction. Good morning.
I just point out something to this guy, which he doesn't seem to know, is that the Nazi Party was the German National Socialist Workers' Party, and he would not have been able to join. The Nazi Party was pretty bad. The French colonial troops, a lot of those were murdered, were some American GIs. There were murders of American GIs. He wouldn't be allowed to play his music because jazz was not allowed by the NSDAP.
So let's come up to today and important historical references there. What should happen now in 2026 as regards what happens this summer?
Oh, well, it's just a publicity stunt, isn't it, really?
By the organisers, you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it's all it is. I think it should be banned. I mean, it's just another nuisance in the country. We've got enough at the moment.
Certainly have. Brian, thank you. Gervin in Northolt. Gervin, you're on the radio. Your reaction. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yep. I just wanted to say Kanye West, he's told us publicly that he is medically diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. So him coming out apologizing for the things he said doesn't really have any value, because if he does have it, it's not like he's automatically going to be cured. He is probably going to say it again and do these actions again. So I don't understand why he's apologizing. Of course, apologizing for what he's done and what he said, 100% right. But for the people who are saying, is he going to be sure of if he's going to say it again or do something like this again? No one has that guarantee, not even him himself from his mouth. So all the people who are saying, especially from the Jewish community, saying that, I'd like to hear an apology from him and get reassurance that he wouldn't say it again, no one can actually get that from him. And as far as it comes to him working, his career, he's going to be a singer. He's going to come to his country, do his job. And honestly, I don't see how him performing here would have an effect on anyone else, because at the end of the day, the Jewish community and the people who are offended by his actions can choose not to go.
They can choose not to go, but why would you offer a stage of significant importance to an act such as this? Isn't there a responsibility, if you're going to book acts such as this, that you actually think as to who it is that you decide to book? No?
Yeah, of course. So if you're going to be booking someone, wireless at the end of the day is a business. They've chosen money over morals, as you said as well. And at the end of the day, it's just about how they get their views, how they get their money. And if they decide to choose Kanye West, then so be it, I guess, because at the end of the day, he is a singer, that is his career, and he will be making money from it, and people will get entertainment from it, no matter what he is as a person, because there's been many people in the past who've been controversial, said a couple of things, but still, they still get their viewerships, they still get their monetization from it as well.
It's the pattern of behaviour, though, isn't it? Saying something on one occasion, controversial, okay. A pattern of behaviour in which you record and put out a record, you sell T-shirts. I think that speaks to a real, sadly, a mindset. Now, whether he's rid of him now, only he truly knows. Gervin, thank you. Paul in Edmonton. Paul, you want to talk about the bipolar aspect of this? Good morning.
Yes, I know this personally. Oh. My son, my youngest son, who's 30, lives in America.
Yeah.
He has it. He has the same extreme condition. If he doesn't take his medication each month, the things that he would say about racism, even myself, his mother and grandfather, would just drive you crazy, what he would say. So for anyone out there who's telling me that kind of condition cannot make him say the most racist, discriminative things, I'll give an example.
Don't say anything offensive, obviously. You can't say that. No.
Kanye West not only discriminated against the Jews in what he said, he also did it against people of color. Mm. And he's a man of color. So obviously, he's confused.
Okay, let's move away from Kanye West and talk about the organizers. If someone is going through what your son is enduring, how responsible is it to put them on the stage?
If they're on their medication properly, there won't be an issue.
How do you know?
Because I live it for 30 years.
Sorry. How would you know that Kanye West has taken his medicine? You wouldn't know.
Well, you have to. He has to have that.
You're missing the point. I hear what you're saying, but you cannot know for certain that he has taken his medication, so that speaks to your responsibility.
What do you mean? If I didn't know, obviously the promoters have to get a bill of health from his doctor that he took his medication. Simple. No. So that argument doesn't hold up. Number two, I hear they're talking about how we insulted the Jewish people, which I grew up in a Jewish community, okay?
Right.
But the point is, what happened to the people of color? I'm not hearing that on the radio station about, I heard a gentleman just calling about the money should go to compensate this and that, but I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing it on one ethnic, well, not even ethnic, religious group. But I'm not hearing they saying that, well, Kanye West insulted all about black people and this and that.
Okay. Can I ask you to send my best wishes to your son, and I hope that his condition is manageable. John in Croydon. John, your reaction. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Nick, you tried to employ some of your impartiality by stating that you're not Jewish, but you failed to remind the listeners that you are on many of the boards for the British Jewish Association. I can't get the specific one right, but you did allude to you going to a dinner to which you stand on the board. Would you like to...
Yes, I'm on the Community Security Trust, which provides security in shuls and synagogues and other Jewish places.
Fantastic. That's a commendable thing to be part of. And I would also just say that when you try to say that I'm not Jewish, to give that sort of impartiality, it doesn't wash with just that basis.
All right.
So that's my first thing. Then moving forward to...
If you would,
the,
you've got a minute.
Position.
I'm sorry, you've got a minute. So please go straight to the point.
I'll try and wrap it up.
Go.
But another thing is, so he would be playing songs that are played every day on Global's network.
No, that's where you're wrong. Capital Extra have not played a single one of his music for more than 12 months. And I've checked that. I'm not trying to, you know, sort of outsmart you, but I specifically asked for that to be checked, so they do not play his music.
On that one station, but you have more than that, so maybe check some of the others.
No global act or station, I'm sorry, no global outlet, whatever you want to say, plays Ye's music, Kanye West music. I've made a specific point of checking that. I'm honestly not trying to knock you down.
Fair enough, but would you agree with me in saying that? Should he be, like you were asking for reassurances about his bipolar, would you agree in saying also that if he made reassurances to play only the music that was listed by Ofcom and so on, that he would be able to present in there?
No, I can't on that one, because it's what the man has done. I hear what you're saying, and I commend you for trying to find a way around this, and for that you are to be rewarded and applauded, I should say. You should be applauded. But no, I can't see the way around it because of what he's done. And again, the sustained level of it. I will say, probably for the fourth time, not a one-off, but sustained. John, you had the last word. Thank you. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on the free Global Player or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download it for free from your app store now. Lewis Goodall is in for James O'Brien. He's the other side of the news. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thanks, Nick. After a month of war, contradictions, deadlines, he ignores threats of what he called Power Plant Day and Bridge Day, ending a social media post on Easter Sunday with the words, "Praise be to Allah." Serious people in Washington are now asking a serious question. Is the President of the United States in full command of his faculties? And that would probably be putting it mildly. Bernie Sanders has called his statements the ravings of a dangerous and mentally unbalanced individual. Senator Chris Murphy said he'd spend Easter calling constitutional lawyers about the 25th Amendment. But here's the punchline. Trump himself brought up the 25th Amendment, which would remove him from office, at a cabinet meeting in March, saying, "I can't say what we're going to do, because if I did, they'd probably institute the 25th. Very simple question this morning. Will the Americans ever do anything to remove this madman?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, pressure's building on the organisers of Wireless Festival to drop Kanye West following backlash over his booking as headliner. The rapper says he wants to show that he's changed after previously making anti-Semitic remarks. The Wireless boss, Melvin Benn, says people should forgive the performer, but has admitted the comments were abhorrent. The chief executive of the Board of Deputies of British Jews, Michael Weger, has told LBC any appearance this summer would be totally unacceptable.
I think it's really extraordinary that Mr. Ben forgives Kanye West on behalf of the Jewish community. I found that statement really problematic. In fact, it was pretty outrageous. The only people who are able to offer forgiveness to Mr. West would be the Jewish community, and that would take a great deal more work than just putting out this mealy-mouthed apology when there's a risk of his concert in London falling apart.
Donald Trump has rejected warnings that his plans to target Iran's power plants and bridges could be a war crime. The US president has given Tehran until tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Paddy McGuinness is the UK's former deputy national security advisor. He's told LBC if Mr. Trump acts on his threat, it's unlikely that global shipping through the strait will resume immediately.
Even if the military capabilities of Iran around the Strait of Hormuz are reduced in the course of this spike in military activity, which now looks highly likely, it'll be quite a time before the normal flow of traffic goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And indeed, we need a higher flow to make up for the lost flow we've lost in this last period. So for us and our economic well-being, that's some way away.
Health Secretary Wes Streeting has warned the resident doctor strike in England will leave some patients waiting in pain or anxiety. Members of the British Medical Association are walking out for 6 days in their row with the government over pay and jobs. The BMA has rejected a 4.9% pay increase for this financial year. The Conservatives have announced plans to crack down on illegal traveller camps if they win the next general election. Under the proposals, police would be given the power to ban travellers from returning to certain areas. Traveller groups have previously pointed to a chronic shortage of authorised sites and have called for further mediation. And the price of stamps goes up today. The cost of posting a first-class letter is rising by 10 pence to £1.80, while a second-class stamp is rising by 4 pence to 91p. Royal Mail says the increases are necessary because people are sending far fewer letters, while the number of addresses continue to increase. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 27 at 10,464. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry, warm and sunny day for much of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain for the west of Scotland later. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So, you're geared up for this Making Tax Digital thing?
Sure. I just need some new mud boards, bag of cavity tyres and a couple of lintels.
Hey, MTD, mate. Digital taxes.
It's an extension down Station Road on the corner.
Dave, digital taxes, mate.
Yeah. Probably will need some 2x4s. I want to go take the van in for a new fan belt. Squeaky.
Hey, Making Tax Digital, Dave.
Avoiding MTD. Sage makes tax simpler for sole traders. Search Sage MTD to get your free software today.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Lewis Goodall.
Well, a very good morning to you. Lewis Goodall here for James O'Brien all this week on LBC. I know what you're thinking, and I was gutted too. Suella Braverman wasn't available. But we will make do, won't we, as far as we can, in the great man's absence. There is a very, very simple question that I want to put to you this morning and discuss. And in some ways, you might think that we could have talked about this at any point over the, certainly, one and a bit of the Trump terms at any point since Donald Trump famously descended down the golden escalator in Trump Tower in 2015 and announced to global incredulity at the time, certainly United States political incredulity, that he was running for president. But after the events of the Easter weekend and on the eve of what would be war crimes committed by the United States and the President of the United States against the Iranian public, the Iranian civilian population, the sorts of war crimes that we rightly, frequently harangue President Putin for, the destruction of civilian energy infrastructure. We could be only less than 24 hours away from that. And given the profane statements that Donald Trump made over the course of the weekend, the question this morning, I think, is very simple. Has the President of the United States lost whatever was left of his mind? And a second question on top of that, which is that if that is the case, is there anything, and this is perhaps the more interesting question, is there anything left within the United States and in United States politics that would remove him? What would Donald Trump have to do for his own cabinet to find a spine and remove him from office? Just a recap of where we've been over just since last Friday. 30-odd days since the Iran war started. Donald Trump gave his first address to the nation. In 19 minutes, he somehow managed to say all of the following. That the Iran war was won, but that it must continue. That Iran's new leaders are less radical and much more reasonable, but at the same time, that he intends to blast them into oblivion. Back to the Stone Age, the reasonable people into oblivion. That's where we are. On Iran's military, he said, they've no navy, no communications, no air force. They've shot everything they have to shoot. There is nothing left in a military sense. And then only minutes later said most of Iran's naval power has been sunk, so there was a navy, but he just said that it didn't exist. Days later, of course, on the Straits of Hormuz, he said and implored the Iranian government to use that military, which he said doesn't exist, to open the bleeping straits. You, B word. On the straits closed by Iran, his position has been fluid. He told allies they need to sort it. Go to the straits, just take it. The hard part is done. It should be easy. Then, days later, he suggested that America should charge tolls instead. What about us charging tolls, he said? Why shouldn't we? We're the winner. We won. Two policies, one press conference. On Easter Sunday, as I said, he posted this to social media. Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, as if it's like infrastructure week or apprentices week, as our government might do. All wrapped up in Iran. There will be nothing like it. He ended the post with praise be to Allah. And when a reporter asked him directly, just 24 hours ago, is the war winding down or is it escalating? He said, I don't know. I can't tell. It depends what they do. The President of the United States running a war on Easter Sunday saying that he doesn't know what's going to happen. Speaking of a press conference last night, the President elaborated on his plans to strike bridges and power plants in Iran tonight.
We have a plan because of the power of our military where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen. We may even get involved with helping them rebuild their nation. And you know what? If that's the case, the last thing we want to do is start with power plants, which are among the most expensive thing, and bridges.
This is the President of the United States, the erstwhile leader of the free world, threatening, as I say, to employ the sorts of tactics that we abhor from the tyrant President Putin. The deliberate targeting of energy infrastructure, which will plunge millions of innocent, ordinary Iranians into the cold and into the dark. And the President, most of the time, he was a little more sorrowful about it there, but most of the time, being entirely comfortable, if not relishing, in the act of doing it. Something that we have seen from this president that we have not seen from previous occupants of the office is a straightforward bloodlust, a relishing which goes cascades right through his administration, his silly little tin-eared, tin pot defense secretary, war secretary, whatever he likes to call himself, a man who frankly not only has a brain that's too small and suits that are too small to match,